Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, I know, right? It's me again. I'm back. Who's me? Who's this guy you say you forgot? You forgot already? Because you've been spending the last bunch of weeks listening to Mike and Pat and Duty Jason do their, what's that show called? Slice of Life?
Yes.
Been doing? Yes. Oh, okay. All right. Sometimes I ask the questions to myself. It's okay. Mike loves that. Oh, boy. I'm in Los Angeles, Lipstick City. And I'm going to turn this, and I'm here from Earwolf. Can you pot that down? Is that possible? There we go. Look at that. You know who's here? Brett is here. Engineer Brett. Or I just call him Brett. It always bugs me when people make, it's almost like they're putting you in a box.
I agree. You're the first one who's ever said that, I think.
It's Brett Morris. This guy's very talented. I saw him in a band, Mr. Heavenly. He played bass. I saw the show in Philadelphia and there was a Johnny Brenda's, the same place that they filmed Creed.
Really?
Not the fights. It was when she sang, Tessa Thompson performed. There, you shared the same stage as Tessa Thompson.
Wow. That was a blast.
That show
in particular was really, really fun.
Yeah. And you were great. And I was excited to see you. And that's why you're just Brett. You're not Engineer Brett. So what do we got? I'm in Los Angeles. I got Pat and Mike.
Yes.
How are you, Mike?
Doing well. Hanging in there.
You're doing good? You see The Irishman yet?
Not yet.
Are you ready?
There aren't too many theaters showing it up here.
Well, you got to go into New York and see it.
Yeah.
What was that?
Staten Island. I think Staten Island's the closest one for me.
All right. Well, why don't you hoof it on out there? Yeah. Right?
$13 toll over that bridge.
All right. Fine. What do you want me to pay? Pat, you know where the money's hidden. Throw Mike $20 for the tunnel or whatever, okay. The bridge.
It's the bridge.
So you can just go see Irishman without complaining about the costs.
The bootlegger doesn't have it. I check with him.
Well, it's going to be on Netflix soon enough.
Yeah, you're
going to just get to see it.
Yeah.
He's just going to watch it on your television.
No. Mike's still going to bootleg it.
Mike's still going to be like the guy's like, seriously, Mike, why are you buying this from me?
I wanted to slip it in that tiny window of time.
Mm-hmm. You just want that elite. So that means you're just getting your thrills on buying bootleg DVDs. It has nothing to do with the availability. You still watching the Criterion Channel, Mike?
Yeah, there's some good stuff on there.
Yeah. You know what I was watching on it? Well, of course you couldn't know. There's 8 million movies on there. If you would have guessed it would have been very strange. Falcon and the Snowman.
Okay, yeah. So the John Schlesinger collection.
That's right. The John Schlesinger collection is up, and that's gone at the end of the month. Now when these things show up on Criterion Channel, you just look. It's like, gone this month. You're like, well, I guess the only things I'm going to watch on this thing are the things before they get pulled. And then it has what's-his-face in it, Sean Penn.
Yeah.
Who gives one of those performances where you're just like, is this guy good or not? Or was I just, when I was a kid, I thought this was amazing because he like was, I don't know what I'm going to do. Like everything's like huge. Mm-hmm. Like I'm just like, maybe is he a good actor? I'm going to still say yes, he is. I'm still going to say Sean Penn can act. But he's got,
I think I saw that movie in the theaters.
You did?
Yeah. I don't remember. I mean, I think that's the last time I saw it.
All right. Well, you got the criterion. Then what do you want me to do? Hit play for you?
You know, who's got a good gig on that Criterion Channel?
Who's that?
Bill Hader.
Why, what's he do? He talks about a movie and then they.
Yeah, he's got all those like 2 minute appreciations.
Yeah. Then they let him in the closet. The Criterion closet.
Those things are great too.
When they let me in the closet, Mike.
Yeah.
When do I get in the Criterion closet?
Yeah, you should be in there.
You'll let me in.
After people I've never heard of.
Yeah, exactly. There's these no names in there, right?
Yeah.
With these no names in the closet. I'm not saying I'm not a no name. I'm a no name also. Let me in. Right? You're letting like Z-list people in the closet to grab a Blue Velvet DVD. I'll get one. Yeah. So, and Pat, how are you?
I'm doing great.
You're doing good. You're doing great. I'm sorry. Yeah. You all fired up?
Fired up. Had a nap earlier. So.
Okay.
Great. And I had off today. So it was good.
You had off today.
For Veterans Day.
Cause yes. And you were honoring, the veterans.
Yes. Called my grandpa, wished him a happy Veterans Day. Thanked him.
That's nice.
Yeah. Served World War II.
He served in World War II.
Yeah, at 17, they let him enlist because it was such a crazy conflict. They were letting people in early with parents' permission.
Wow.
He joined in. It was kind of almost the end of the war, but he, he served. Mm-hmm. I called him.
That's fantastic. Yeah. And Mike, I'm assuming you wore one of those outfits, one of those military uniforms you got your hands on and walked around today.
No.
Today was a great day for Stolen Valor.
No, I resisted.
I don't know if you noticed this, Mike, but there was an alarming miniature American flag on the sidewalk when I was walking
up.
No. Yeah, noticed it.
Maybe somebody picked it up
right outside the door of the studio.
Good citizen. My father served the Korean War during the Korean War, but he was in Germany with the Air Force.
Okay,
I think he was in Germany the same time Johnny Cash.
Really?
Served. Yeah. I the dates sort of coincide.
Wow.
He never met him over there, but I think they had similar experiences during that war.
He was over there when Johnny Cash was there.
That's exciting.
Yeah. You look at back then, you had Johnny Cash, right? And you had – who else was like a hero back then? James Dean, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now who do we have, Mike? Logan Paul.
Yeah, Logan Paul.
Do you think Logan Paul runs for office at any point?
It's too early to tell.
It's too early. I'm going to say yes. I'm just going to say yes.
He's in California, right?
I don't know where he is. He's probably in California, but I think they're from Ohio. He might go back and run for Ohio.
Yeah.
Senator Logan Paul. Picture him passing a bill to allow filming of corpses. His own. That's his pet. That's his pet cause. The filming of corpses for internet videos. I bring forth on the Senate floor this bill saying we should be allowed to film in suicide forests without giving people write stuff in the comments. I don't know. I have a t-shirt. Jason Wallner sent me a shirt for the Low Gang. Logan Paul's thing. It says, I'm in the Low Gang. The funny thing is I'm not. I'm a Jake Paul. At heart, I'm a Jake Paul fan. I'm Team 10. And I always Team 10 for life. So anyway, it's the best show. It's here. I got Paul Scheer here. He'll be on mic in a second. Not yet. Not yet. We're going to talk about all sorts of stuff, but I want to know, and you think about this, Pat, and you think about this, Mike, the best time you ever went to the movies and the worst time you ever went to the movies. You think about that. And the number, I'm not even going to give the number out because it's a moot point because this will have happened already. But I tweeted it. So if you're seeing the tweets, you can call. But in the meantime, I want to bring to the show my friend and friend of all who enjoy entertainment, Paul Scheer. How are you, Paul?
Tom, I'm so excited to be here.
It is exciting.
In the LA version of the Best Show.
Look out. I know, right? It's here and it's the thing. We're in the Earwolf studio. I should mention, yeah, we're in the Earwolf studio.
You're playing in my arena. This is where I live, buddy.
It is. And the last time, that's a menacing laugh. The last time we were on microphones together, yeah, you were in the Best Show studio with Rob Hubel and there was no air, yes, conditioning.
You know, I don't remember that.
Oh, I do.
I don't remember the air conditioning. I remember being on the show, but yeah, I had such a great time that I don't remember that there was no air conditioning. I do remember that was the day that Al Roker sold us out on air.
That's right.
Which was still something that I am upset with.
Is this going to be one that resolves itself how now? Somebody need to broker the peace between you and Al Roker?
You know, if he wants to come to the table and, you know, maybe we'll do some sort of a podcast miniseries where, sure, we talk about apologies.
Uh-huh.
Maybe have Oprah get in between it, you know, come, sure, together.
So you're looking to do the way the people on Fox News are always like, come on the show and debate me. Like they just want the ratings.
Get the rating. You can mix ratings and forgiveness. And that's really, I mean, that's the sweet spot of LA.
That is the sweet spot.
I mean, people say I've changed. I don't think I have. I just know that, like, why not monetize
anything,
every conversation.
Everything is up for monetization. That, I always love that thing where they think people are just like, they're going to be just like, yeah, why won't they debate? They won't go on the show. Like not realizing it's like, it's a for-profit thing.
Yeah.
Come on the show. We'll debate it. Like what's his face? What's that guy, Mike? Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean,
I call him Squinter.
You call him what?
The Squinter.
You call him the Squinter.
You know when he's sort of confused on the show, he has a very strong squint.
You know, you're right. He definitely goes like, yeah, it's a real, like, it's his version of a double take. He's so pained by what you're saying. He has to be like,
Yeah,
you
know, his that, face. It locks in a grimace.
I was going to say, who I always appreciated was Jon Stewart going on Bill O'Reilly, because I think Bill O'Reilly understood like the idea of like the show business element, yeah, of it. And they would go head to head a little bit. And that was always a fun, you know, head to head.
Yeah. That to me was like Long Island and New Jersey finally doing battle. Finally.
By the way, I keep on thinking about the bootlegger who's bootlegging Netflix movies,
yeah,
and I just wanted to be taping it in your house. So you just see like, yeah, a sock foot up on some sort of a futon.
He's still filming it on like a camcorder.
Yeah.
And
hey, you want that El Camino? I got it, yeah, right here. I got this El Camino.
Breaking Bad sequel. And look, I didn't watch this Breaking Bad thing yet.
It's good.
This is the whole thing I feel in it. It's like, is it about his like his car or something? Like he's like, cause the only question that was left to ask was just like,
what happened to the car?
He's driving off, right?
You know, they'd actually do everything I think those guys do is actually really well thought out and, mm-hmm, and well done. And this is exactly the same way. It's like, you think like, is there enough story to tell? Mm-hmm. And they do figure out a story that has some great flashbacks that year, and they have some tension moments. It's good. And you know, for me, I'm a big car guy. I'm a car head. You know,
you're such a gear head.
I mean, you know, I'm a click, clack, Paul, you know, we're just talking about it all, just getting it all mixed up. But no,
yeah, that's click and clack. How are you not on that show? The one dude is dead. How did that? They're probably right now putting an offer together. Public radio is going to bring you to reboot Car Talk.
And by the way, is that the Cars curse, the Pixar movie Cars? Like, because I feel like that movie really is, a lot of people have gone through that franchise in the past.
Like?
One of the click and clack guys.
One of the click and click.
Paul
Let's
Newman.
Just say Clack died. I'm just going to say Clack died. Paul Newman died.
Paul Newman passed away.
Yes.
I believe there is, I'm going to say at least one more.
Oh, so you're going to say between the, how many of them did they make?
I think they've made three.
They made three that two people have died from the three. I'm going to say this might be a very soft curse. That's a soft curse, Paul.
Maybe it's building. It's building. That's why, they don't have a Cars 4, because people don't want to get involved. They're like, I don't want to get in that Deadpool.
Yeah. Yeah, the death booth. You go in to record the thing. Suddenly you feel you just know your life is shortening.
I recorded a voiceover for a movie that never made it to a movie. Like we did it for many, many months. And then they're like, oh yeah, we're never going to release this. It was me and my shadow. And it was Bill Hader and Josh Gad.
Okay.
And a shadow got separated from his person. And I was amazed at how far in the process we got. Like we would see full scenes and pieces of the movie. And one day they're like, man, we're not going to do this anymore.
We're just not going to make it. So somewhere there's like a hard drive that has like 20 minutes of a movie that no one will ever see.
And a good cast. It was, you know, Hader and Gad, Me and My Shadow, great premise, like a really fun idea that the shadow gets free and gets to act out all the things that the normal stuck up man wants to do but can't really do, you know?
Then they act like the shadow? The shadow doesn't control the person.
The shadow becomes the puppet master of the man, where the man is the puppet master of the shadow, okay. Like it reverses.
Gotcha.
So it's a little bit of like all of me. Which I like to keep the references topical on the show because I know you have that, like, you know, the young
movie from 85.
But I'd argue Steve Martin's most popular film next to Lonely Guy.
I'm going to say Steve Martin's most popular film is probably Father of the Bride.
Two?
Father of either one.
I like those movies.
Those were huge.
Giant movies.
Parenthood was a huge movie.
Parenthood's one of those sneakily depressing films. Like I watched it again, like expecting like a good time, and it's just darker than you remember. Like you remember the kid singing the song about diarrhea, and you remember like him like running around the bases when this kid hits a home run. But then in between, you have like an abortion subplot. You got a marriage breaking up, and then you realize like that Peter Berg, you know, that Friday Night Lights version of Parenthood, I guess is more in tone. Oh, this is blowing my mind. Sorry.
Let me just say, before you say it, Mike.
Yeah.
Go, when you ask your guy, ask him if he's got Me and My Shadow when you go to get your DVDs out of trunk.
Yeah, I need it for my reel.
Yeah. Ask him if he's got some rough edits of, you find out like that, this guy's like insanely connected. He's like, yeah, what are you looking for? Yeah, we got some stuff we get with or without time code.
I saw this today, Tom. I did not know of this. I was just thinking about, you know, Parenthood, the hour-long drama, and I was like, oh, that's a departure from the movie, which is a big Ron Howard comedy. Do you know about this Fantasy Island movie? I guess is my first question.
Fantasy, so it's a movie with Michael Pena.
Yes.
Is Mr. Rourke.
That's right.
The role that, what's his face?
Played? Ricardo Montalban.
Ricardo Montalban, the fine Corinthian leather.
Yes. Khan from Star Trek 2.
Yes. The grandpa from Spy Kids 3.
Yeah. Oh. Do you know, would you want to tender a guess about what Fantasy Island the movie is like?
I'm going to say it's going to be some horror anthology.
You are right. I did not realize it's a Blumhouse movie. And now
that might be why I knew. I knew that it was, and that must have been in the back of my brain.
I saw the trailer today, and it was like a screen grab, and it was a woman crying, mascara down her face, wet, soaking wet. And I was like, that doesn't look like Fantasy Island to me. I thought I was expecting like a Starsky and Hutch kind of like soft, funny, like reboot. And then it's a straight up horror.
It's full on horror.
It's not full on. And I think you're right. I think there's going to be a Fantasy Island 2, 3, 4, whatever you want to do. Just put people there. And, as Mr. Rourke says in the trailer, you must live out your complete fantasy. And I don't know what that means is essentially, but it seems like it gets like very Saw-like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what this movie is.
Where like the original show would be just like Vic Tayback would be on because he didn't make the touchdown in the football game.
Yeah, it was kind of like Highway to Heaven meets Love Boat. It was like a little bit of a moral, but now, this is like the thing that I saw in the trailer was this girl's like, my fantasy is to like torture this girl who was mean to me in high school. And then she goes down the elevator into, I guess, hell.
Sure.
And then, there is her friend from high school tied up in a chair and she starts torturing her.
And yeah, this sounds like a.
Are the banana splits in this film?
No, that movie looks so upset. Did you see that banana splits film?
There's a
what? Splits movie that's like a horror movie.
No.
Where they're killing people.
No.
I know.
See, the whole reason why I went down this rabbit hole was because I wanted to watch the Scoob trailer, which was like the Scooby-Doo prequel trailer.
Okay.
Which I don't even know what brought me to that. I think people were upset that Matthew Lillard was not playing Shaggy anymore, and I wanted to hear this new Shaggy's voice.
Sure. So for all the unanswered questions of Scooby-Doo.
How did they become friends? How did this object?
Was he ever a puppy? It's like, yeah, I can feel this one. He was a puppy at some point.
Wait, so, and by the way, they don't, I guess, yeah, who knows. But wait, so there really is a banana split. Like
oh, yeah. Oh, it's the worst thing. It's the worst thing on earth.
Oh,
it's like,
no.
It's basically like where, the banana splits find out the show has been canceled. And then,
it's like Death to Smoochie, but now it comes out.
It's kind of like that. They go on a tear and start murdering people. All right, let's see. Let's play this Banana Splits trailer. You can just listen to this nightmare. Hold on, Brett. Hold on. Don't yell at me. Okay, hold on. Video will play after ad. This game looks fun. I think we're going to get that game. What is this? Stadia Premiere. No, it's over now. I don't know what it was. I guess. Okay, here we go.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live. At the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Wow!
Get ready.
Yay!
It's blown out birthday cake.
We are going to the Banana Splits.
Dad's got tickets.
Oh no.
Sometimes at night. I see the splits riding around in the little cars, laughing and singing.
Who's excited to see the banana splits?
Now they're in the car.
Rebecca, I'm canceling the show.
What?
Now they just the.
Hey kids, put on your happiest faces, because the banana split show is about to begin.
What? So
where
now.
Are the children?
Mom, get out of here.
Time's almost up.
One of them had a hatchet. Now he's setting stuff on fire.
No.
He's got someone trapped in a... He's got a saw he's slicing their head off. Yeah, this I can't handle.
Whoa.
Imagine that this is...
This is blowing my mind. Who? I mean, someone wanted a paycheck to be able to sell those characters. Be like, yeah, whatever. Give him a hatchet.
They're just like, how are we going to make money on this banana splits thing? Why do they start killing everybody?
But now,
we
by the
tried
way,
to reboot the thing. No one wants it. Let's just have them kill children.
Imagine if you should, like, Fozzie the Bear coming out, like, just murder, like, just stabbing kids. Like, this is, I mean, now the only thing I would hope is that in the Banana Splits movie, they take breaks to show, like, longer live action things that are just totally, like, fine. Uh-huh. Like, they had, like, a Treasure Island thing on that Banana Split show.
I would hope that this movie is some sort of dream sequence. I don't know. You can't go back from, how do you go back from this?
No, you can't. This is, by the way, this, if this is successful, get ready. Cause you're going to see people cashing checks. You're going to see the most foul mouthed, you know, it's going to be like Alf, you know, just slinging profanity. You know,
that is, I feel like there's probably an Alf being filmed right now that is just like a, like a hard, like one that would be on like
Fleabag, but Elf.
Yeah, like exactly Elf. It's like Elf needs a little more. Like it'll be like, What if it was like Alf and then just like Danny McBride is just doing the voice of Alf? That'd be pretty good. Mike?
Yes.
Did you finish watching Righteous Gemstones?
Righteous Gemstones. Yes, I did. Yes.
You did, yes.
Were
you
happy? It really left lasting memory with you.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
You enjoyed it?
Very much.
You like John Goodman in it?
Yeah, he was all right.
Who is the standout for you?
Oh, the woman, the daughter.
Edie.
I can't remember her name. Patterson?
Edie Williams? What is her name? Edie?
I thought it was Patterson.
Edie Patterson, yes.
Yes.
She's great.
Yeah, she was my favorite.
Good. Well, I'm glad you got a favorite there, Mike. And I'm glad you found something you like, which had to happen one of these days.
Yeah, it did.
I can't wait. I've already got people emailing me about you seeing Irishman. They're just like, did Mike see it yet? What does Mike think of it? It's troubling.
What is the idea with the Irishman? Is it that it's a joke that it's like three Italian men all playing Irishmen, or is there an Irishman that they have a problem with?
I don't know. I didn't see it yet. It seems long.
I don't know. I know nothing about it at all.
I know Robert De Niro is a hitman.
Okay. That's all I want to know now.
Al Pacino is Jimmy Hoffa.
What?
Yeah. Wow. And I think this is my theory. I'm based on some reviews I read. And I think Robert De Niro's character is in on the Hoffa disappearance.
Gotcha. So it's going to end at Giant Stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to end with Odell Beckham Jr. dancing, literally dancing on his grave, doing like a Super Bowl, not a Super Bowl, but doing like a touchdown dance.
The camera just goes right down.
Just keeps going down, and you see a skeleton. Restless skeleton being danced upon. Mike?
Yes.
How's the biz going?
Which biz?
You know.
The biz?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a slow time right now.
Slow time? Well, I'm sorry. And you wanted to say something about the studio in New Jersey. You had said you had asked for airtime. To discuss something that was left out.
Oh, no, I don't recall that.
I recall
Mike,
it.
You asked for it. You said that you wanted to talk about Skittles.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, right. Well, yeah. Yeah, I was glad you weren't here this week. I think you would have hit the ceiling when you saw that there was a Skittles container on the main desk.
Right out, like where I would sit.
Where you would sit, yes.
Wait, does that mean someone's sitting in your chair?
Oh no, of course that's what that means. And I know who that is. That's Jason. Likes to sit in the chair. Right?
Actually, there's a whole power dynamic behind who gets to sit behind the chair. Now, Jason wasn't here 1 week, so Pat was behind in the chair.
Yeah.
But then the week after, I'm like, well, what's going to happen now? You know, Pat established himself as worthy of sitting in that chair.
Yeah, so it's a real showdown.
So I missed, they were both here by the time I got here. Was there any power struggle before I got here?
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Mike. Now that Jason was the last one to sit in the chair, and now that there's a vulture review of the fill-in show we did.
Well, that made me sick to my stomach also.
I'm sure it did.
That truly upset me. The idea that vulture doesn't come within 100 miles of talking about the best show. Until I leave and then they review an episode without me?
Look, this is the fickle world of internet journalism here. I mean, they want the change. They want the difference. The young bucks, you know?
Sure. Yeah, the young bucks.
In your defense, I called Paste Magazine the very next morning. I said, guys, you really got to help us out here because Tom's going to lose it.
They put the best show's number 13 on the all-time best,
so
was it?
Like that
best podcast of the last decade? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Where'd you end up on that
list? I don't even think I was on that list because I'm just realizing.
Oh, stop it.
I will tell you this much, that I saw a list today on the AV Club of the 100 best shows of the last decade.
Mm-hmm.
And I was surprised it was on that list. And I was surprised at not having I mean, I don't know. I'm proud of The League was a show that was on for 7 years, and I was like, okay, we didn't get on this list of the best show. Seven years is a fine time to run 100 shows.
Absolutely.
100 shows. I mean, 100 shows on those lists. I was very surprised that we were not on that list. But I never am on a list. I'm not a list guy.
Well, I'm looking at this list right now.
Yeah.
Number 15, 14, 13. Doughboys at 12. I'm not sure how I feel about
See,
that.
See, I'm not sure.
Best shows at 13 on this list. And Doughboys at 12. Comedy Bing Bong at 11. I can't say anything now. The mics will shut off.
You're in Bang Bang.
Oh, yeah. Look, you made the list. You're number 10. How did this get made?
I didn't even know.
Oh, I don't know what jeepers.
Hey, look, I did not know this. Now.
What? Oh, number 10? Oh, top 10? What?
Wow. Wow.
That's fine. No, but it's a great
idea. I'm excited to be a part of it. Thank you so much.
I'm going to say this. You figured something out with this. How did this get made, Paul? I tell you. Where did you play in New York?
We played at
the Beacon Theater.
Yeah.
But it was only one show, right?
Two shows.
Oh. Just like Steely Dan does. Multiple shows at the Beacon Theater. So now the Beacon Theater hosts runs from, you know who else did two shows at the Beacon Theater? Nick Cave did two shows a couple years ago. So now it's like, you're rolling in, and the whole difference is, Nick Cave, they got 15 guys in the band, right? The whole thing. You show up, you get, three microphones.
We got three chairs, three mics.
Yeah.
We don't even do guests anymore.
Yeah. You're kind of just like, you guys have three chairs backstage, right? And they're like, yeah, sure. You're like, and we need three mics and one for the crowd,
there is,
right?
There's one for the audience. We were on this tour and there is an incredibly large amount of crew standing around three chairs and three mics.
Yeah.
Every time I come there for a sound check, I'm like, it's 15 people just like, all right.
Calibrating the chairs.
Put the rug underneath the chairs like this.
Yeah. They don't touch that rug.
Although Manzoukas will come out and reorganize the chairs.
He still needs to touch, even though he's not a teamster.
Yeah. I mean, he's not allowed to. Yeah.
No, they let him touch the chairs. So
they're big fans of The Good Place. So they let him get into the chair work.
How did this get made? This is like the biggest thing going. And congratulations on it.
You're nice to say it. Thank you so much. No, it's been super fun.
I mean, everybody loves it.
Everybody
loves it.
You were fantastic on the show.
No, I'm universally known as one of the weak appearances on
the show. That episode is one of people's favorites. The Avengers episode, not the Avengers Marvel, but the Avengers,
Ralph Fiennes.
But it's been fun. I mean, look, I think the people that I'm so impressed with, are you, like, you know, who've been doing this for such a long time. And I honestly feel like.
I don't, waiting for me to get the hint.
No, I'm just saying that, like, I feel like people don't always acknowledge the people who have been here doing the comedy for, like, the audio comedy for the longest time. I feel like a lot of these podcasts come in and they get all the accolades right up front, but you've been doing the hard work for a long time with amazing guests.
Oh, that's so sweet of you, Paul. To say that, and I appreciate it. And, look, admittedly, we don't have a Damon Lindelof doesn't come on our show.
I would argue you don't need a Damon Lindelof on this show.
Lindelof.
You've been watching The Watchmen?
No.
It's good.
Who watches The Watchmen?
I did.
You know who watches The Watchmen and complains about it? Mike, in the comic book, it says, who watches the Watchmen, right? Cause who's responsible to, who monitors the heroes?
Right.
But if
I'm actually making an attempt to read that.
But if it was written, you're gonna try to get through the Watchmen comic.
Yeah.
Well,
Don't even need to. Fingers crossed, buddy.
I know you can do it. I know you can understand a comic book at some point.
You don't need it. You don't need to. You could just jump right in.
I tried watching the HBO show. I bailed.
You bailed?
He's out of range. Yeah. He likes nothing. All he needs is to see that somebody's wearing, it's not even about a cape anymore. If he sees somebody wearing a hat, he shuts it off.
Man, he is a little Martin Scorsese over there.
Oh, yeah.
You, Coppola, Scorsese, all just gonna chow down and just, Mike, really rip it apart.
Mike's so mad at, Mike's mad at all of them.
See, AP Mike, I feel like you're the guy who was gonna like this. Like, I feel like you would I think you have the appreciation for both sides, but I guess in my mind, I always thought you were more like critical about movies. I didn't realize it really extended into television.
Oh, he doesn't want these things to exist. Is there any, name any superhero moment you've enjoyed in anything, Mike?
Superhero.
Outside of me getting cut out of both Ant-Man movies.
You were in the second one, weren't you?
No, I got, we got cut out. We're in the credits. Not in the movie, though. Superman movies. What's that?
You know, when the first Superman movies came out.
Sure.
Yeah, Christopher Reeves, you know? Yeah.
So you like Super, what about like Superman 2? Did you like that?
Zod?
Remember Mike?
I made it to 2. Mm-hmm.
Remember when he went Neil before Zod? Remember that?
Yeah.
I mean, technically it's one movie because they just added extra parts for Superman 2.
So Neil before Zod. And then he was like, then like they went into the fortress and then he's like, Gene Hackman's like, so wait a minute. You guys were out there and you changed the powers in here.
Gene Hackman, what I love about that performance is at one point he just said, I'm not going to be bald anymore.
Yeah.
So if we're going to do the reshoots, like I just have my own hair
yeah.
and deal with it. And the movie, he goes in and out of wearing, because Superman 1 was famously so long, they cut it up into 2 movies, but then they didn't bring back Richard Donner because he was too much of a director. So they hired Richard Lester to kind of direct other scenes. And for the other scenes, he's like, yeah, no, I'm not wearing the wig. I'm not wearing the bald cap.
And he was probably just like, hey man, he doesn't want to wear the wig. Richard Lester's kind of just like somebody from the studio shows up. It's like, are we sure this is going to track with the hair? Hey, we won't, he won't do it. I don't know what to tell you.
I just love that movie just felt like full of egos. I mean, even the fact that Marlon Brando he's in Superman and would not return. I mean, you know, all these guys, I mean, Marlon Brando on Godfather 2 was supposed to show up. And then the day of the scene where he's supposed to show up, just didn't show up.
He just didn't do it.
Just didn't do it.
Can you imagine that? Not showing up?
I don't even know what would go on.
Right?
Yeah.
I would just drive my car into the ocean.
I remember.
If I didn't show up, if I was like, yeah, I didn't show up at that movie I was supposed to act in. It's like, well, of course I have to die today.
Yeah.
I cannot draw air.
There's nothing you need to create an emergency, and why not hurt yourself? Because that really is a person who deserves it in that moment.
I would just drive to the boardwalk and just drive my car into the water. And if I got rescued, look, I'd hope I'd get rescued.
Sure, but then you have a good excuse.
I'd just say some dude was in the car with me, had me a knife point. He jumped out and started swimming. That was weird. And they'd be like, this sounds very weird. I'd be like, I know. Do you think I wanted my car in the ocean?
Okay, you give him a good old Smollett. That's what we call a Smollett in the
biz. That's a good old fashioned Smollett.
Yeah.
Yeah, you Smollett it.
Yes. Oh man.
It was weird. No, he had a knife. He made me drive my car into the ocean.
The craziest thing I ever saw on set, I won't tell you who it was because, I feel like that's, but is, an actor got so mad with the director and he's like, these lines are garbage. Like, and he was using much harsher language, but I'm respecting the show. Who wrote this? Why would I ever say this? And it seemed out of nowhere because the lines are always the same from the day before to the day after. And then it was all because he wanted to watch a football game and we stopped production to then watch a football game.
No, of course, that's how that.
And then we all stood around the TV, watched a football game for 2 hours and then went back and started shooting.
Would you be able to enjoy the football game if you knew 100 people are now waiting to just work?
Well, I have a couple of thoughts about it because I think that the crew is like, you're going to pay me to watch a football game for 2 hours? Like,
that's true.
They're getting paid overtime. Yeah. There's only one or two people that it really
impacts.
And then the rest, I think for me, I was like, well, what else can I do? I watch this football game.
Yeah. And, first of all, I know who that was. That was, I'm going to guess who that was. That was Ken Marino.
Ken Marino. Got it.
Set of Children's Hospital.
I just actually was working with Ken Marino today.
Really?
Yes. Ken Marino and I are doing a bunch of stuff in Black Monday, which is why I have the mustache. I did not give you the proper precursor. I currently have a mustache and I like to warn people on some level that I have a mustache.
I like the mustache.
Thank you.
You wear it well.
Thank you.
I knew it was probably for something.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know if Paul's but you're pulling it off.
I appreciate it. I had to go to a family reunion with this mustache, and I did feel very, like, I hadn't seen a lot of these people in a long time, and to come in with a mustache was a pretty tall order.
It's a power move.
Yeah.
You got the mustache. No beard, mustache.
Mustache.
Mike?
Yeah.
Have you ever grown a mustache?
No, facial hair and me ended in high school.
Okay. You're like,
and
it's...
I tried to grow a beard and a mustache when I was a junior in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And was so wispy and weak. And it's actually my senior photo. So it's lasting forever.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can look back on that and see why I'll never grow them again.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't have said that on the air, Mike. You know why?
Somebody's going to dig it up. Oh,
they're going to go dig it up. There's going to be somebody over at the library looking through the yearbooks for the photo of Mike with the wispy mustache.
Yeah.
Now, Mike and Pat and Paul and everybody listening who can't hear me, let's talk about... How do I get a call on the air? How do I get a call, Brett?
By the way, I'm very excited about this topic. This is one of the classic best show topics.
Well, thank you. The best time and worst time at the movies. Cause I'll tell you, I have mine. How do we throw calls on? How do I do that?
I have a bunch of calls waiting right here.
Just anybody put one on for me, Brett?
Okay, here we go.
Not engineer Brett, Brett. Your name's Brett.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
I want you to walk out of here. You don't have to become a different
person. I wear a lot more hats than that.
Brett is, I mean, really, Brett keeps his place running. I would argue, are you the longest person here at Earwolf?
I think I am.
Yeah.
I think I am.
You've seen him come.
Yeah, you've seen him come and go, yeah.
I also manage all the engineers.
Yeah, I don't ever think of him as an engineer. I just think of him as the only person that can get answers about everything.
Yeah.
And then also as incredibly creative, which I think is the thing that's so hard. Justin may be so creative in that position, but also know how to do it all technically.
I'm speechless. The nicest thing ever.
I wasn't going to say anything that nice. I just stopped calling you. Just call you by your name.
All right. First call.
Here we go. First call. Hey, welcome to the best show. You're here with me and Paul Scheer. Who's this?
Hey, Tom. Hey, Paul. This is Tim from Chicago.
Tim, listen to you. You sound like you had a little bit of a tough guy thing going on.
A tough guy? Yeah. No, I'm 145 pounds of fury.
All right. Well, there you go. Look, you're lean and mean. You move fast, yeah, right?
Exactly.
They don't know what hit them. So what's going on, Tim?
Well, first of all, and this isn't the reason that I called, obviously, but, and I know it's probably a weird question, but do you have any knowledge about the hold music that they're playing on this line?
What's the hold music, Brett? Is there any knowledge about the hold music?
No, it was just a setting on this website I use.
Okay.
Yeah, I imagine it's all.
I've always been curious what that hold music is, actually.
How was it? How was it, Tim?
It sounds like the, you know that piano score from Eyes Wide Shut? That real minimal, like, one. Yeah. Picture that, and then every 90 seconds, someone bangs on the piano.
Like that theme music.
Every key that they can. I recorded some of it, if you're interested.
I am.
I don't know if that would make for good radio.
Can you play it right now?
You want to hear it right now?
Yes, sure.
Okay. So just to preempt this, I'm gonna play
like a
blast that's the third or fourth in a stretch of just blast 10 seconds.
While you're getting that, I'm gonna cue up the Eyes Wide Shut music.
Yes.
I have that ready.
Alright. Turn it up a little bit. Can you hear that?
Yeah, go for it. Can't hear it now. Hey! There it is.
This goes on like that.
Sure.
I don't know if you could hear it.
And now here's the Eyes Wide Shut music. Hold on.
This is the Eyes Wide Shut music here.
Yeah. Remember that song? Remember when that topped the charts?
That was my wedding song.
That was it, yes.
It reminds me of, like, whoever John Cale apprenticed under before the Velvet Underground. Like, those people.
Sure, you mean, like, Lamont Young?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, by the way, Tom, this
the
is
a minimalist.
Yes, the most. Tony Conrad, Lamont Young, all the greats back then, New York, the Village with the Theater of Eternal Music.
I was going to say, you know, it's a big music day, though, for you, Tom. You haven't even talked about the big announcement today.
Today's a big music day. Now, I didn't want to say what the big announcement was. I figured I'd let you say what the big announcement was.
Black Crowes are back together, baby, and they're going to hit the road. Finally, they're back out. The brothers have reunited. Wow. And so this is a big day.
Right?
And
order is being restored to our nation.
Yes. Order is being restored. Finally, Chris and Rich Robinson have mended fences, apparently.
Yeah, this is going to be a big tour for them. And, you know, I think it's going to be big. I don't know.
I'm super pumped. I'm pumped about that.
They're going to play the whole Shake Your Money Maker.
I'm ready for that. Hopefully they – I bet you – what song do you think they come out and do? I bet you they come out and do Remedy would be the first song they would do, right? What do you think, Brett?
For sure.
Bow, bow, bow.
My question was, who opens for them? I was thinking, like, does Soul Asylum open for them? Like, what's a good band that opens for Black Crowes?
If I was to put that together, I'd probably want to put I'd probably put Howard Jones out there.
Okay.
To do a little solo keyboard thing.
Buck Cherry, maybe?
Buck Cherry would be good.
Greta
right?
Van Fleet.
I was wondering why on the drive over here,
somebody's talking over somebody.
Okay.
Hold on. What's that? Pat, say what you're going to say, Pat. Pat takes precedent over you, Tim. Sorry.
Thank you. Sorry. That's okay. I can't hear your end of the call, Tim, but, I was wondering why driving over here, both, the classic rock station and the oldie station were both playing almost at the same time. I don't know if you caught that, Mike, that Otis Redding cover,
Hard to Handle.
And I was just like, what is happening? This is so weird. On my presets, they're back to back. So I was flipping through and I'm like, this is really weird. How often does this happen? I mean, that explains it.
I couldn't hear what Pat said, but I'm sure it
was
you.
Don't worry. He was saying about how he heard Black Crowes, Counting Crows should open for them, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Who should open.
Oh, that makes sense.
Just call it funny.
Crash Test Dummies does like a small set into Counting Crows.
And then you call the thing one dummy, two crows, right? The One Dummy, Two Crows tour. And then they all come out for a super jam of Roll Over Beethoven.
It's the name of the tour and the name of the people buying it.
I think they would play So You Want to Be a Rock and Roll Star altogether.
That's what you would want to hear.
You know what? Maybe Cameron, I realize I missed Cameron Crowe comes out with Stillwater. So Cameron, then you have Crow.
Crow. We come out Crow. Crow dummy. Crow dummy, crow.
What about Sheryl Crow?
His record, A Crow Looked at Me. Mount Erie record.
Call it the Eating Crow Tour.
Yeah. The Eating Crow Tour. And it's Counting Crows, Black Crows, Sheryl Crow, Cameron Crow. Right?
Cameron Crowe is making the doc of the tour.
Of the tour, yeah.
So yeah, Cameron Crowe presents Sheryl Crow.
Yeah. Cameron Crowe presents Sheryl Crow, Black Crowes, Counting Crows, and Crash Test Dummies. And they're just kind of like, are we sure we belong on this tour? And then like the edict comes down. Crash Test Dummies are not allowed to play that song, right? You can't play it.
But that's what the audience wants.
Why can't we play it? Because the guy's got that deep voice. Once there was a boy who, when in his hair was bright white, right?
Yep.
He didn't have to tell him the things of
so hard.
That's going to get me nowhere, that impression. See, while I'm working on a Crash Test Dummies thing, Paul is saying like, hey, let's talk about Mannequin. And then it's like the Beacon Theater. Sorry, no more seats left. Like, I'm sweating in a garage somewhere being like, no, I must get closer to the Crash Test Dummies guy. And then Paul is meanwhile is like,
Andrew McCarthy.
Should we do a third show? Nah, I don't feel like it. So, look, Tim.
Yes.
Thank you.
I wanted to call Tom to see if you were as excited as I am about the new Stephen Van Zandt box set coming out in December.
Well, I'm going to say I'm probably less excited than you. I don't know how excited you are, but I'm going to say I'm less excited than you. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. I was excited because when I got the email about it, mm-hmm. I thought to myself, oh, I really would love to be able to call Tom and
talk about the box set.
It's
an exciting box set. It's coming out now with all of my music, Stephen, Little Stephen, The Disciples of Soul, and my solo albums are all being reissued in a deluxe box set.
Five long out of print classic albums.
Yeah. I wonder why they're out of print. I gotta pull up the Little Stephen hologram. I'm so sorry. It's my favorite thing. Newark Airport has a hologram of Little Stephen. And he clearly did one take when he did his hologram. He didn't even, like, he stammers through it. Here we go.
One of the most exciting things about this box set is it's the vinyl debut of 1999's Born Again Savage, mm-hmm. which was only released in Europe.
Oh, well, that's different.
Like most classic records, it's out of print and it's only been released in Europe.
Yeah. All right, wise guy. I get it. You're down. You're down a little steam. What are you, pro Nils Lofgren?
Is that hologram? Was that to promote his Handkerchief of the Month Club that he's been, getting
the babushkas?
Yeah.
I don't know if it was for that, but let's hear. This is him. This is the hologram.
Yeah. I mean, adversity is a constant in life. We still have it, you know.
Imagine it's a hologram. The guy's like,
by the way, this is part of, I'm looking at it. It's part of a time capsule.
Yeah.
That's what we're leaving for people.
Yeah, this is it. You're leaving this guy stammering about creativity at Terminal C in Newark Airport. I'm busy. I just stood online at the security checkpoint for 70 minutes trying to get through. And I just had to take my shoes off and then I get greeted by a hologram, Little Stephen hologram, him muttering.
Everything I try to do seems to have some kind of conflict for whatever reason. Right now I started my radio show. Nobody wanted it. They said, you can't do all 60 years.
I can't handle this guy couldn't even tighten it up to be immortalized as a hologram.
I wish that, like, instead of him just standing up in the airport, he was sitting on a bench, putting on his shoes, having that conversation.
Yeah, because he sounds like he's grunting, leaning forward, forgetting what he was saying.
Like, he's getting, like, he knows he's got to put everything back in his pockets. And he's kind of having,
did I forget my wallet back at home?
Standing or sitting?
He's standing. Oh, he's standing, Mike.
Standing, yeah.
It sounds like he was just talking to the engineer, and then the engineer was like, all right, we are ready to roll here. And he's like, yeah, I got to get out of here.
He's like, no, we're good. We got it.
We're good.
Like, I don't understand the idea that someone would show up to a place and then not go, can we do it again? Like, if we're here, I've driven here, I'm here.
Yeah.
What's five more minutes going to be?
To just run it again.
Yeah, just do it one more time.
No, we're good. I'm okay with that being immortalized.
But, that's the kind of attitude that also made, you know, oh my gosh, I'm forgetting the Iceland show. What was his, what was that show? Wasn't he in the show?
Lilyhammer.
Lilyhammer, ah.
Yes.
That's how, you know, Aziz was inspired by that to do Master of None. Very much. I mean, that kind of started the whole Netflix
thing.
That's
when it started.
Yeah, it was like, I know Louis, Aziz, they all were like that. We got to do our Lilyhammer.
Sure. It's a great pairing there, by the way. I'm sure everyone loves being that being fine. I'm sure Aziz loves that being a duo now. Yeah, it's a kind of thing where you're just like, you're like, can we, like, seriously, this is going to be the thing. Like, they're going to run this thing anytime someone walks past it. Can you just give it a second take?
That doesn't even feel like – that feels like a voicemail that you would hit that the pound key and be like, erase and re-record.
I'm going to re-record, yes, if you'd like to re-record.
Yeah.
Now, one thing I'll say, not unlike – I'm not comparing you to – Little Stephen Paul, except in one way.
All right, sure. Hit me with
it. You guys sell out the places. When I'm going to be looking and be, oh, yeah, guess who's playing Giant Stadium? How did this get made? They're showing Free Jack for 90,000 people. You'd be playing like Coachella. Who's headlining Coachella this year? Oh, it's pretty exciting. It's Rage Against the Machine. Are doing one night. The other night, it's How Did This Get Made? They're playing the Emoji Movie.
I would never disrespect the Emoji Movie.
Well, of course not. Yeah. Like, that's for the next How Did This Get Made generation to be just like. But seriously, how did that movie get made?
Oh my gosh. People love emojis and they're like, let's get them taught. Like, let's see what their lives are like. Who is telling me that they're actively trying to develop an M&M's movie now?
With those M&M's?
With those M&M's. Like, do we really need to see? I mean, because once you start to crack open the M&M's world, it's depressing. Because the M&M's recognize that M&M's are candy, food. And then they are also food. And they're watching other people eat.
Yeah.
I guess they're watching people eat their clan.
They are cannibals also, because they'll just be like, me, sorry, I couldn't help it. And there's just like a bow tie left on the floor or a pair of shoes, whatever was there.
Yeah.
And what are those legs made of?
I don't know.
It's one
thing. Are they bones?
If you're going to eat an M&M, the torso is an M&M. That's fair enough.
By the way, the legs should be black too. They should not be white, because I would at least understand the black legs are like, that's chocolate. Maybe some chocolate is leaked out to form legs, but they're.
I think those are just like two bones.
these are really like genetically superior.
Yeah. This is the next, this is like, what's that, Mike?
I think it's congealed shell.
You think congealed shell that is just hardened and dripped down and hardened into the form of of feet and legs?
So they were not tested on. They were not mutated.
Well, they also have joints too, because they're like moving around
their
pretty.
Their arms.
They're not just moving like stick figures.
I mean, I'm just looking at one with Tom right here. Yeah. I mean, and they have eyeballs. I mean, there's a lot going on here. These M&Ms,
It's troubling, these M&M's.
Yeah, this is upsetting to me.
The M&M movie would, what if they just went, they did like the Banana Splits movie? That's the only way I'd watch the M&M movie. They're just like, man, these M&M's are going to kill each other. It's going to be a battle, see who the final M&M is left.
Battle Royale. Like, I'm just looking at the M&M's actually were part of Red Nose Day, which means that like they're activists. They're out there.
They take stands. Which also means like the M&Ms might have opinions of just like, well, it sounds like states' rights to me, like with a flag. Who am I to say?
I mean, I heard
what kind of flag should be flown.
I heard the orange M&M said this whole thing about Trump today. It was like, look, yes, it is quid pro quo, but that's what the president does. We can't we're going to start nitpicking on all these levels. I mean, we have to just respect that he.
There's a picture, if you look at a picture of the, I actually, troublingly, know I took a picture of one of these M&Ms that I'm going to find that was like the,
The sexy M&M?
No, I wasn't taking pictures of this, I was taking creep shots of an M&M.
Cause the sexy M&M does wear thigh-high boots and has,
as everything that is a, is, yeah. No, it's the Eminem that's the, here it is, this guy. It's like, I mean, that's like a Trump hairstyle, right?
Oh, you're right. I guess, like, but that looks like the peanut butter is like shot out of his head.
But the peanut butter, well, first of all, you just made a huge mistake, Paul, saying the words shot out of, because now you just reminded me of the thing I'm more obsessed with than anything regarding you.
Yeah.
Is you at the Clippers thing.
Oh. Which
I can't, you said shot out of, that was like a, no,
hot dog cannon.
I need to hear every detail about that. But yeah, they it's a pile of peanut butter on his head.
Yeah.
That's in like a pompadour.
That's a Trump pompadour. If you put him in a little tuxedo, that looks like a Trump impression.
Yeah.
Is Trump M&M peanut butter?
That's what I'm wondering now. Is like, are they looking, do they know, the M&M people, that just like, down south, the peanut butter M&Ms sell like crazy. Like we, where's our biggest market for peanut M&Ms? West Virginia. Like, Idaho. Like, they just know like all these like.
I know that Trump had steaks, but I feel like Trump should have launched some sort of candy at one.
There point. Must have been like a Trump bar, a chocolate bar. How could there not have been like the
gold?
Trump
yeah, yeah.
Ugh. And the other thing that people lose track of, he had his casinos in Atlantic City. Those are the worst casinos in all of Atlanta. And Atlantic City was terrible,
right?
And still is. It's still there.
But this is kind of like setting the bar.
It's his
like,
casinos were the low, like I ate one time I went to, the Trump Taj Mahal, which mm-hmm. is just like also very excited. Like, ooh, this sounds very yeah. exotic.
As a kid, that seemed like the place to go.
And then I went in and they had the buffet was the Sultan's Feast.
Uh-huh.
And the only way that is acceptable, that Sultan's Feast, is if your dog's name is Sultan. It's the only way that was food. Because it was not suitable for humans. It was just like all heat-lamped hot dogs and stuff. It was like the stuff he gives to kids when they win like the football game. Like
bringing an old, cold fast food. Just on the basest level, that is just a terrible idea to transport fast food and then have it waiting in position.
For 90 minutes. Big Mac sitting. I will say this, though. This is my caveat. If those things are hot and fresh, it's a pretty good idea.
It's a great idea, but you need to be coming right out of the kitchen. Like yeah. those French fries need to be like,
yes,
in.
But that's not how it's going. No. They're driving to McDonald's. They're ordering the stuff and the stuff's probably coming out at different points. Like the fries are coming yes. out. Then they got to drive the thing back all the way through security. Then bring it all the way through the kitchen and plate it.
That's where you're wasting a lot of the yeah. time. The plating in the towers and everything. That's food that needs to be eaten.
But if I go there, if I go to the White House, say the best show wins best podcast of the 2010s.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And then I get the call. Mr. Trump would like the staff of the best show to go to the White House.
Wow. Would you accept it?
Oh, absolutely.
AP Mike, would you go?
Yeah, I'd go.
Pat?
When are we talking?
When? What are you busy? You're too busy to go to the White House? You wouldn't go to the White House even as a goof to just tell this guy he sucks.
I would.
Like I'd go there. I'd eat three Filet-O-Fish sandwiches because
he's doing the same for you. Like he's going to get that fast food. Yeah.
He's going to have the fast food out because he just
the Skittles jar open on yes, the counter.
He figures
for Jason.
He figures winning the NCAA tournament and podcast of the decade. Oh, I got to win this now.
You got to get to the White House.
We came in 13th on this list. Who do we got to get past?
Doughboys. I mean, look, Doughboys.
We're not getting past Doughboy. First of all, Doughboys will review the food at the thing and then make another bag of money for them. Homecoming. Look, I'm just going to say Doughboys, Comedy Bing Bong, and How'd This Get Made. The fact that that's a block of four right there. Best Show, Chapo's Trap. I thought it was Steakhouse for some reason.
Chapo's Steakhouse. Well, that's their tie-in restaurant.
It's not steak. It's always been Trap House? Okay. I could have sworn it was Chapo Steakhouse. But, so there's five there. Chapo Steak, Trap House, Best Show, Doughboys, Comedy Bing Bong. How did this get made? That's five right there. That's a lock. But look at this. Homecoming. What's that?
Homecoming is that series, that Amazon series with, remember with, Julia Roberts.
That's right. But this is with David Schwimmer. David Schwimmer's doing a podcast. Stuff You Should Know. I don't know what that is. I don't want to know what the Limetown. What? Planet Money. It's number five, Serial. They didn't get bounced off the list with those other bum seasons of their show. Dirty. Imagine if two thirds of the best shows were terrible. Right?
If
two out of every three episodes was the worst.
But it's only based on one thing. One thing.
Because it didn't exist also.
Yeah.
If they dropped that season one of Serial right now, people would be like, whoop-de-doo. Yeah.
We've already been there. We've done it. Making a Murderer. Saw it. More engaging.
Dirty John. What's that?
Oh boy. This is
number
the top
four.
Ten.
Dirty John. Number three. S-Town. Yikes. Number two. Marin. He belongs. Number two. Number one. This American Life. What?
What'd you think of that Marin thing that he said that his dad finally listened to an episode this week?
It broke my heart.
Yeah.
Broke my heart.
I love that.
I feel like, you know, in a weird way, I think it was such a touching moment that, you know, it probably was a hard thing for his dad to figure out this technology, probably trying to ask around, figuring it out. And then my mom watched a whole season of Madam Secretary because she thought it was Veep and didn't. And then, she's like, oh, you're on Veep. And she's like, I don't see you on the show.
That's so nice.
Yeah. But she was trying so hard to watch Veep, and what she landed on was Madam Secretary. And she fell in love with the show, Madam Secretary. I don't know if she watched Veep, but, she was like, do you ever work with the dog? I go, there's no dog. She's like, yes, there's a dog. So I think it's hard for parents to get to this stuff.
To where they can know to see the thing. Yeah. No, Mark's thing was, I met his mother at one of his shows, and his mother was, and it's just like, it was funny to see him with his mom and see like, oh, he talks about his mom all the time. This is the actual person.
Yeah.
It was very interesting.
Hyperbolized or was it kind of spot on? Did you feel
he seems like he captures the spirit of who she is and I think his thing, people can't lose sight of what his thing, there wasn't a version. There was a point where people were not interested in talking to other people. Where suddenly like, I would not be like, I wonder what it would sound like if Alec Baldwin interviewed someone. Was a question you'd never wonder that.
But here's my question. Does he get blamed for the glut of shows that everyone's like, oh, I could do this too. Cause I feel like, you know, when you come first, sometimes everyone's like, oh yeah, Alec Baldwin's like, oh yeah, I should have an interview show.
Yeah.
And everyone has an interview show and it's like, it's a different ball game sometimes. I feel like
I would feel like if he didn't still do two episodes a week since it began, he would be seeding ground to anyone else doing the thing, but they literally have never had a week where two episodes did not come out since it started.
I'm blown away by that.
Unbelievable. And that's one of the things, if you talk to Brendan McDonald, who's one of the smartest people I've ever met, who's Mark's producer, that was an early thing. They're like, we're never going to miss a week. This show can't be optional. There's going to be episodes a week and we're going to do this. That's what's going to make us is the consistency.
I think people want, they want that content. And I think the other people kind of try to keep up with it, but it's like now he's untouchable. But I think sometimes what made that show so good is he came in and still good is like he came in with such an energy and a point of view that I feel like other people tried to, no fault of his own. I just think a lot of people tried to capture that exact same thing. And that's a hard art. I think the art of the interview is like a hard thing to do well.
Yeah. And to do it as
can I chime in?
Who's this? Is that Tim still?
Yeah.
All right, Tim. Final thing. Then we're going to bounce you. Go ahead. What do you got, Tim?
Sorry.
Don't apologize.
Like a long trip. So I had a number of hours of plane ride to kind of prepare for. And I just went and downloaded a bunch of old Marin episodes, some that I remember listening to when they came out and some that I hadn't before. And just the precision of his
interviewing and the way he gets in and gets things out of people just so directly is nobody really is capable of doing that as an interviewer. I think, Tom, that you interview really well too. Thank you.
I appreciate you saying that, Tim. I think I do okay in conversations.
You do great in conversation.
Well, that's sweet of you to say, Paul. I was actually wondering why Tim was only saying okay.
Like, when that came out, was one of my favorite things.
What's that, the James Murphy one?
When James Murphy was just on your show.
He hadn't done any interviews in years. He only did a little short burst of thing. He didn't really do a full-length interview since the band broke up.
Yeah. You have a really good way of kind of... I think that you hold your own in any... musical topic very well.
I think you're sweet to say that.
I think with Tom, though, I think your whole thing is that you make it very conversational. It is like really overhearing a conversation where I think the early Marins are sometimes very adversarial, and that makes them so great. But I still think the Robin Williams interview is one of the best.
That's so good.
I've never feel like I heard Robin Williams interviewed until I heard that. I was like, oh, wow.
His show, one of the things that works on it is also just he's never not him. He's having conversations. He's not doing interviews. I think he approaches it like that, where I just listened to the one with John Goodman. The one with John Goodman is so great because he's just such – even though Mike, I know, is not a big fan of his work of late.
You just like the Connors. That's it. You're a Connors fan. And
hang up on Tim, by the way. Tim, you're gone.
What?
What do you think, you're co-hosting the show? No, but Mike is down on – these are the things Mike is down on. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Wow.
Oh, he hated it. You know what he didn't like about it?
What?
I like the music.
What?
He complained about the music.
No, I'm down on Tarantino in general.
Yeah, no,
Actually, I read a funny tidbit about him that he has like a when he's dating a woman, they have to accept his natural odor, he calls it. It's not BO. He has a natural odor that apparently is offensive to women. He claims it's a natural odor, not BO.
All right. So that's a good
line. By the way, top three worst Quentin Tarantino movies in your opinion, go.
Who, me?
Yeah.
I guess the only acceptable one is Jackie Brown.
Okay, that's all right. So that's and the one that you think is the most egregious, the worst one?
The worst one. Well, he wrote it, Natural Born Killers.
Okay. It's a little bit outside of the box, but I'll take it.
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't. Mike just doesn't like these movies.
What if they remade Natural Born Killers, but they made them into like the Banana Splits? It's like really goofy and bumping into each other.
Yeah, I'd see that. Mike.
We find out years later that he ghost wrote that.
That he ghost wrote the
the Banana Splits
movie.
Wrote the Banana Splits movie. Do we have another call, Brett?
Sure thing.
Let's put another call on. And I want to hear, let's talk about your best movie going. Hello, hi, welcome to the best show. Hi, who's this?
Hi, I'm Brandon.
Hi, Brandon. How are you? Where are you calling from, Brandon?
I'm good, thanks. I'm calling from L.A.
Lipstick City, right? Where are you at, buddy?
You know it, Highland Park.
Ah, fancy. So Brandon?
Yes, sir.
Brandon, not Brendan.
Correct.
Brandon, what's the best and worst time you movie going experience for you?
Interesting. Which should I tackle first?
You tell me. The floor is yours, buddy. You do whatever you want.
Ah, thanks. Okay. Well, it's fine. One of the worst. I hate when people talk during movies.
You do?
Right.
You don't like that?
Seeing Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah.
I was very excited. You know, a lot of anticipation.
Sure.
And I was going with some friends that I'd only hung out with once or twice.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't. There were two women talking behind us, but I didn't want to make a scene because I didn't want to scare off a friendship.
So what did you do?
But it was like, I bottled it in for a good hour until it was like almost like one of the last chase scenes of the whole film. And these women just kept talking, laughing. So I turned around and I kind of lost control.
Yeah. What did you say?
I pretty much said,
bleep what you're saying.
Just shut up.
Shut up. You
just shut the f- up.
Why'd you curse, you dunce? You ever heard the show? You never heard the show?
Sorry?
Hey, dummy. You ever hear the show? We generally don't curse on the show.
Oh, sorry.
All right, hang up on this guy. He grosses me out. This guy grosses me out. You're gone. You're gone forever. 6-year ban on that guy. What was his name again? Brandon. Anyone named Brandon can't get through now.
Wow.
That's it. Sorry. Brandon Routh calls. He can't get on.
I mean, that's a bummer because maybe he has some good news about what's going on in the DCU.
Yeah, he wants to talk about Superman.
He's coming back, baby. He's coming back.
Now, Paul, does anything come up when I say to you best movie-going experience, worst going movie-going experience?
I mean, the worst one pops in my head very quickly.
Okay.
So I'm an only child. I would often do things by myself. I had no problems doing things by myself. And in high school, I liked going to see movies by myself. But it was kind of really shunned. Like, you know, like I like when I would say it, people would look at me odd. Now as I'm an adult, I'm like, everyone does this. This is not an odd thing at all. But it felt like, oh, don't you have any friends to go? But I would go Christmas shopping in the middle of the day. I'd go to the movie and then go back Christmas shopping, whatever I was doing. And one night, I was a big fan of this movie franchise, and the third one was coming out, and I had to be there. You know, Behringer, Sheen, not Sheen, though.
It's Platoon 3, we all know.
It was Major League 3, back to the minors. Uh-huh. And I wanted to go see that, so I drove myself over to the Comac Multiplex, and I'm in line, and I see this girl that I have a crush on.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh.
How old are you right now?
I'm like probably a junior, senior in high school.
Okay. All right.
See a girl that I have a crush on.
Well, for me, that could mean junior, senior, high could mean either you're 17 or you're 23. For me, it's like, I was a junior, senior high school, probably like 22.
All right, so 17, 18. Right. So I see this girl. And I think this is actually at the point in my, this, I actually remember it even better. It was a point where I could have like my learner's permit so I could just drive for a certain period of time. Mm-hmm. So I was like, it was exciting to be out. And I see this girl that I have a crush on, and I'm like, oh, okay, I'm alone. So I feel that pressure. Like, okay, I'm alone. Yeah. Let me just duck out here and not really interact with her. And so I try to avoid her.
Okay.
She sees me. We have this connection. We have a very, like, you can't get better flirty, fun conversation. Yeah. Like, I feel like I'm firing on you're all thrusters. It. Everything is working great. And I don't really say that I'm there alone. She's going to go see a movie. I'm going to go see a movie. Whatever. It's good. Go into Major League 3 by myself. And then she walks in with her boyfriend.
Uh-huh.
And I'm alone, and there's probably four people in the theater.
Yeah.
And that's, we're three of the four. And, and I just watched her see me by myself, and the whole movie, I don't remember anything about the movie, and that movie was great. I should remember everything. And I just felt like I was being, I just felt like I lost any cool cred I could possibly
have. And you had to stew in it.
Stew in it for the longest 87 minutes of all time, just sit there as I felt like, and of course the guy was like probably a lacrosse player wearing one of those Cox hats or whatever.
Sure.
You know, the white hat. And, you know, and I just, and then we had a second meeting as we were walking out, and it was kind of, oh, who are you here with? No one. And then I was like, then I was sunk and stuttering.
Were you sitting behind them or in front
they
of them?
They sat behind me.
Oh, so they saw the whole
they
time.
Saw the whole thing. Time. The whole thing. And like once, you know, the conversation on the way out was the thing that hurt, because he's now standing there with her, and it was both like, oh, you just went by yourself?
Yeah.
Beat. That's cool. It wasn't cool to them.
No. Not at that point. You made Mike laugh. That's good. That moment, if you would have known that decades later, AP Mike would have laughed.
Made it all worth it.
That, So that's the worst time. That was the worst, not the best.
No, that's right? The worst.
What if that was the best? Be like, oh my God, are you all right? Like, you're like, and that was the best
and
time.
We had the best.
Yeah. When the lacrosse player stared at me. Now that, yeah. Mike, anything come to mind for you?
I had a recent annoying experience. I went to see The Lighthouse.
Mm.
Have you seen The Lighthouse yet?
Can't wait to see it.
I have not seen it.
Okay.
A24.
I was down in Central Jersey. It was only playing in one theater, and they didn't even have night showings. They had one afternoon showing, 1:20 in the afternoon. So I was able to go to it. And it's, you know, it's these new theaters, you pick your seats, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I make a conscious effort to pick, you know, sort of in the middle of the theater, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
E7 was my seat number.
Okay.
So I go in there.
Yeah.
There's only two other people in the theater. One of them is sitting in my seat. And, you know.
Oh, please don't tell me you made a scene.
No. Well. What is your move in that situation, Tom? Would you be annoyed or?
How many seats don't have people in them?
Lots of seats.
I would go sit in one of those.
But it was the principle of the thing.
Well, I don't have that kind of capital to spend, Mike, where I can fight for principle. If I go to the movies, I'll just sit somewhere else.
So I'm off to the side stewing, just,
mm-hmm.
you know, just sort of. Looking at this
stewing.
Guy.
You were literally stewing at this point.
Yeah, it was irking me.
Okay. You know, like, All right.
He must have picked a seat, right?
Yeah.
Why didn't he just go to his seat?
Yeah.
Right?
No, I get you. Yeah, no.
Why did he just ignore the fact that he wasn't going to go to his seat?
Mm-hmm. You brought up us sitting in your chair.
Yeah.
That's not what I worry about. God forbid we, any of us sit in Mike's chair.
Oh no, that's the one, that's the chair you stay away from. That's the one that's actually someone else owns.
I'm not kidding.
Oh no, I'm not either. Mike goes, he plops once down in that chair.
He wouldn't move for Julie Klausner once.
No, I didn't know there was a chair underneath him. One time I saw it. Finally, when I saw that the chair without Mike in it, I was like, oh wow, there's a chair there. That's how often Mike is in it.
What is the classic passive-aggressive move to do in that situation, Tom?
Pull a fire alarm?
No.
No?
I sat right in front of him.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I'm sure it was a great time at the movies, right?
I had nobody in front of me, so it worked out good.
Yeah. Why didn't you just go behind him and then just make weird noises?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I could have done that one.
Why don't you take your shirt off, go behind him and wrap it around his throat from behind? Right?
Uh-huh. I want to hear from listeners who've seen the movie, because I think the movie is going to cause some – it's going to irk some viewers, because it's not the aspect ratio of the movie.
Yeah, it's like a postage stamp.
Yeah, it's smaller.
Yeah,
really?
I'm sure there's going to be like dummies. Fix the frame, you know?
Yeah.
I'd like to be in a theater when that happens.
Yeah. You know what? I don't want to be in a theater is with you in the, I don't want to be in your seat in the theater, get holes burned in the back of my head. Mike.
Yeah.
I salute that time at the movies. I don't agree with you, but I agree. I will defend your right.
In an empty theater, don't make it an issue. I mean, honestly, right? I mean.
Yeah.
You pull that move on an opening night in a crowded theater, but in an empty theater, just let it all be. Those seats are a suggestion at that point.
Mike, there was a time I went to the movies to go see, I was a young boy and I was going, it was Memorial Day, it was a Friday and we had off for Memorial Day. And I went to the movies and I went to go see a new movie that was out that was called Return of the Jedi.
Oh wow.
Mike and Pat. And Brett and Paul. So I sit down in this theater. I'm in this theater. And then the movie starts. And the lights go down. And all the kids. Then it pops up on the screen. What does it say? A long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. And all the kids in the theater go, a long, long time ago. in a galaxy far, far away, all reading in unison. Then this guy, maybe the only adult in the theater, as far as my, as if my memory serves correct, stands up. He was like third row. Stands up, turns to the crowd, and he goes at the top of his lungs, "Shut up!" And then all the kids stopped doing that because he must have just been like, "Oh, I got to work off early. I got to, you know, I changed shifts so I could go finally see the Star Wars. Been waiting 3 years to see the Star Wars movie.
I want to see that Planet of Wookiees.
Got
to
find out what happens. I heard there's a Planet of Wookiees, and I got to find out what happens with Han Solo. This is going to be exciting." Then he goes to the theater. Oh, no. It's Memorial. Look at these kids have off. Oh, no. Well, I guess I better give it a shot. And he goes in as soon as that opening thing shows up. These kids are going to ruin this movie. I've been waiting 3 years for this moment. He was like the first of like the adults that think these movies are for them. He was like the first of them. He was like off of the assembly line. The first adult that is mad that children like movies that are ostensibly aimed time. At children. Yeah. Like, and he, oh boy, he let us have it.
But it seems like you were not a part of that. You probably wanted them to be quiet too, or
what? I don't know. I was not. It didn't bother me either which way.
I wish the kids would have retaliated. Started
whipping milk duds at him.
Yeah.
Those stale milk duds that theater served.
Little milk dud barrage.
Yeah. Another time went to the movies, got tickets early to go see Mars Attacks at a sneak preview.
Oh, wow.
I was so excited about this movie. Go to the theater early. Now, Mike loves this one. This is one of those Tom falling down type stories. Get tickets early, hours early. Go to the theater.
This is like back when Tim Burton was producing hit after hit. Everything was it.
Yeah.
You knew it was going to be something bold, different, and awesome.
I saw a title as a sidebar where it was just like scrolling through on like Hulu or something. It was just like, it said Tim Burton's Corpse. I was like, oh, I'll watch that. And then it was like, oh, Corpse Bride.
Oh.
I was like, then I was just like, if he made a thing, if there was a thing called Tim Burton's Corpse,
I'm in.
I would watch that like crazy. It was like a series.
Don't you feel like he got like kind of like Guillermo del Toro is like naturally, you know, inquisitive and weird. And,
yeah.
But I feel like Tim Burton kind of like ran out of steam. He was like, I don't have that much weird anymore.
He's now just kind of like, he's kind of like just like waits for like, hey, we're making a Bazooka Joe comic movie. You want to do that? Will you pay me $45 million? Yeah, oh, we'll give you $45 million.
The thing about Bazooka Joe is he's always chewing gum.
and they're just like, yeah, yeah. Like the executives are like, we made the right call on this one. Like
Helena Bonham Carter is Bazooka Joe.
Yes. And she, now he needs to figure out how to digitally have the people's feet go horizontal out of the frame when the punchline gets read, because the jokes are so funny in a two-panel comic that you literally get launched horizontal with the ground, 3 feet off the ground. Your feet are literally – that's the power of a pun. So I go to the movie. It's me and it's Terry T, and we're at the movie, and then we go we got the tickets now. Let's go see Mars Attacks. We go to the theater. And then the guy's like, the usher's just like, yeah, it's full. I'm like, what? Okay. I was like, well, I got two tickets. He's like, Matt, it's full. You can get a refund. And I went to the guy. I think I might have screamed at the guy. I know I was cursing at the guy. I was like, you effing, like,
really?
Oh, I went. I was like, I bought these tickets hours early and you can't control who comes in and out of your theater to be responsible. Like, so that it's somebody with tickets. And like people were watching, I lost it. It was like falling down, the movie falling down. I was one briefcase away from just, And then the guy's like, okay, hold on, hold on. And then he clearly was just blocking seats for his friends.
Oh,
it's like,
man.
Hold on, hold on. It's like, all right, there's two seats there. You can go in. It's like, yeah, I can go in them. I bought tickets for them.
Yeah.
That'd be the worst. But then the movie was so good. Mars Attacks. What a great movie.
I'll tell you, a high low, a kind of a mix and match of a high. One of the best experiences was marred by a worst experience, which was, back before the internet was as evolved and percolating, Phantom Menace was coming out. And if you went to go see Meet Joe Black, the, Brad Pitt movie where he gets hit by the cab in an amazing way, you could watch the trailer for Phantom Menace. And we went, me and a grouping of friends went to the Ziegfeld. Mm-hmm. And we were waiting online to get in to see Meet Joe Black. And everyone that was going to see Meet Joe Black was only there to see the Phantom Menace trailer. And we all went in and the Lucas, you know, logo went up. And this is the first time you had not even really seen anything yet because it was a teaser trailer. It wasn't like the, even the real trailer, teaser.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're hearing Yoda's voice and like, ah, people are screaming and it's like 70 seconds or whatever it is. And everyone's just like, it was the most excited. I was a Star Wars fan, the best experience. And then it was like, and now it's Meet Joe Black. And we had to go watch Meet Joe Black. But the only reason why no one walked out was because they said, hey, at the end of the movie, we'll play the trailer again.
Wow.
So you had people under duress watching a 2.5 hour
movie.
It's
a long movie.
Long movie. A depressing movie. Not good, you know, not a good mix. And the energy in that theater, I think I went to the bathroom like 5 times. Uh-huh. I was like, I need to just walk and do something. And then that movie ended. And not only that, you have to sit through all those credits. And then the trailer again, and everyone's like, it was like a real sandwich.
No, that is like the pre-internet. That's one of the last pre-internet moments that you'd be just like, I have to sit in this theater for 2.5 hours and
just watch. To see a 70-second trailer.
Yeah. That had no footage in it.
Nothing. Just like camera going through like marsh.
Yeah.
Like,
that's all you get. And you're just like, that was unbelievable.
Wow, he's back. Lucas got it. You know what? He never lost it.
Paul, I'm going to ask you this.
Yeah.
You tell me. Tell me what you think the running time of Meet Joe Black is.
I'm going to say 2 hours and 12 minutes.
Brett, do you have an opinion? And see, this is, they don't do this on Hollywood Handbook. They only turn to you to laugh at you.
That's right.
To make fun of you. I ask you a question. Same question I asked Paul Scheer. This guy sold out the Beacon Theater 2 shows. I'll ask you the same question.
We also sold out BAM twice. It's not a big deal.
Yeah. BAM. Well, that's. And when you play here, where do you play? The Staples Center?
We share the court with the Clippers.
You do. It's like, you're gonna, yeah, so you can watch, it's like, you can sit down and you'll watch, the My Blue Heaven with Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, yeah. Pat Beverly is, always sitting with us. No, we play Largo. Largo is our LA home.
Sure, yes, I know. You have you do a thing once a month.
I try to, yeah.
You try. Now, Brett, how long do you think Meet Joe Black is?
I'm going to say, what was Paul's guess?
2:12.
Oh, okay. I'm going to say 2.5 hours.
This movie is 3 hours and 1 minute.
Oh. What? Oh,
it is longer
man.
Than three so, hours.
Wow. I remember being so pained by it.
3 hours.
Wow. Was it worth it? No, not at all. The only thing that's great is the scene where Brad Pitt gets hit by that car. Which you should Google right now.
It's the greatest thing because he just gets, you think you saw it and then you realize, oh no. And it's just got enough bad CGI to be just like, oh, this is terrible.
It's like someone dropped a mannequin from the ceiling. But that's the ultimate pain of a Star Wars fan is like teaser trailer for something that you've been waiting so long for
three hours
and 1 minute and then 70 more seconds of pleasure.
Yeah. How much money do you think Meet Joe Black made?
$75 million.
$142 million.
Whoa, huge hit.
Yeah. That's with a 3-hour running time. Yeah. They get less screenings per day.
Yeah. Wow. That. I didn't think Meet Joe Black was that much of a hit.
You a fan of that movie, Mike?
I never saw it.
All right. Well, maybe.
It's not the one with the gorilla. Mighty Joe Young.
Yeah, no, it's not Mighty Joe Young.
This is Anthony Hopkins, right? And,
yes.
And all I remember is I think Brad Pitt is a ghost. Like he definitely is a ghost. He's haunting the girl that he loved.
Any other calls, Brett?
Yeah, there's a bunch.
Well, let's do it, please. And anytime you gotta go, Paul, just give me the high sign. Just give me the high sign.
I might, try to tuck in my babies.
Just give me the high sign. All right.
Caller's on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Paul.
Hi.
How are you? Who's this?
I'm pretty good. How you doing? My name is Brendan, not Brandon.
Okay, very good, woof. Brendan.
Just got in there, it. Right under the wire, yeah.
Thank God. So what's going on, Brendan?
Not much. I was calling in for the with the topic about best and worst movie experiences.
What's the topic? What do you got for me? And where are you calling from? Are you calling from, Brendan?
New Jersey, Morristown.
Ah, 07960. That's Morristown.
Yeah.
It's a zip code for Morristown. Go ahead.
All right, so I guess I'll start with the worst one. A couple of years ago, a friend and I went to go see Arrival, the movie with Amy Adams and what's his name?
Oh, yeah.
And it was opening weekend, so the first showing was sold out, so we got tickets for the late show. And we go in, we sit down, the theater's packed, and there's this couple in front of us that are just talking incessantly for the first like 45 minutes
mm-hmm.
and they're being loud and the people around us are obviously perturbed by it. And then they just start like cracking beers and laughing at stuff that's not even happening in the movie. It's not a very funny movie. And it just gets to me and I'm usually a pretty calm guy and I just lean forward and say, would you guys just shut up? And then they're quiet for the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
But it like ruined the first 45 minutes.
Yeah. Cause now
and
you're,
then, well, and by the way, arguably some of the most emotional minutes in the beginning there, or at least my memory of it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's a pretty heavy movie and you know, they're just cracking jokes and laughing about nothing involved with the movie. They're like catching up on their day or something.
Mm-hmm.
And we go to leave the theater and the guy like chases after me and he starts screaming at me about how like him and his girlfriend both work so much and they don't have time to catch up. So, you know, they just wanted to go to a movie to hang out.
Go to Panera Bread. Go to Panera Bread. Go. There's something called television.
That's exactly what I said, Tom. I was like, well, just stay at home and watch Netflix or something like that.
Yeah.
And then the guy threatened to punch me and, one of the guys that worked at the theater came over and kind of took him away. But
you know
it sort of ruined the movie.
If I was you, you know what I would have done? I would have said, bring it on. Let's go for it right now. Let's go for it.
I got shushed at a Knicks game. No, I thought you could talk.
No, that's allowed.
I think you can talk during a basketball game.
I mean, you were just having a conversation.
Huh. Yes, very casual conversation.
You're not like screaming.
It wasn't like
Yay!
That. Dolan sucks.
Yeah.
It wasn't, there was no heckling. There was just really just, I feel like that's an appropriate thing.
Yeah. Oh no, that's on them. It's like, don't go to a basketball game.
Yeah.
You stay at home and watch it on TV. You need to get to good. Speaking of basketball games, Mike.
Yeah.
Who do you think on this show has worked a hot dog cannon at an NBA playoff game?
Game five.
Paul Scheer did.
Yeah, that's a cool
Mike.
Gig.
The so best gig.
How did
life.
This come about? This is, I've been, cause look, I say that I am completely jealous of it.
By the way, so, It is hilarious and stupid.
Cause you're a Clippers fan.
I am a Clippers fan. I came out here in about 2005 and I was trying to still be my Knicks fan.
Mm-hmm.
And it came to a moment of realization around like 2006, 2007 that I was like, if I ever have kids, I would like them to be able to go to a basketball game and have a fandom. So
yeah.
That was a good time for the Clippers.
To not go to the one Knicks game a year.
Exactly.
Where, like, dad takes you like, no, this is the only team we root for.
Yeah.
It's February. We watch one game.
I just felt like it was going to be bad. So I kind of made the switch and I've become more and more of a Clippers fan and actually more and more of an NBA fan. And last season, that season was so much fun. I was having such a good time.
Because they overachieved so much. They were such a fun team that was not supposed to be good, but they were, it was all chemistry. It's all effort.
And it was, and there were these underdogs. It was such a fun season. And I got to meet a bunch of different people in the Clippers organization. Mm-hmm. And again, it was a season where there was no, there's no energy around the team because it was sort of like, they're going to suck. So come on, do whatever you want to do. And at one point they're like, oh, you want to do something? You ever want to do something? And I was like, I would love to shoot that hot dog gun.
So you, you said that point blank.
Yeah. And they were like, you want to shoot the hot dog gun? I was like,
oh my God. This,
absolutely.
I'm actually giddy. With
and I was like, absolutely. Uh-huh. And they were like, all right, well, can you do it this Saturday? It was like the second playoff game. And I was like, I can't. It's Easter. And I was like, I can't be away from my family on Easter. I was like, and they're like, all right, well, we'll hit you up again. And then it was, you know, the series goes on. Yeah. And,
because ostensibly they were the eight seed in the playoffs. And everybody thought, well, they're going to host two home games and they'll lose both home games.
Exactly.
And that'll be it for their playoff.
I still believe that the reason why Golden State did not win the finals was because they tired them out. They just played them so hard. And they're the only team that played the uninjured Golden State. So there comes this day and for whatever reason, I had hurt myself. Like I had like a baby potty training injury where I kind of like pulled a muscle in my leg and I was like, I had like a little I got a big bandage around my leg, but I was like, this is my only chance to be on the court. And it's going to be amazing. Hurt. Yeah. I got to play hurt. So I got to the stadium.
This is the craziest thing ever. You're hurt.
Hurt. It's like literally bandage around my leg, around my knee. Uh-huh. Cause I'm walking with an insane limp and I go there and I'm like, I can't let them see the bandage. Cause I'm like, what is going on?
They're just going to be like, look, hot dog cannon's not, it's not a game. It's not a toy. We can't, if you're not physically up for it, we can't let you on the court with the hot dog cannon.
Well, truth be told, they bring me back into the, you know, the guts of Staples and they're like, they had to introduce me to the hot dog gun like it was a dog, you know, like a canine rescue dog. And, you know, so I'm there at like 5 o'clock and I meet the cannon and we're doing some dry fires of it. And it's complicated because you have to like, turn one knob up and then pull one knob down and then you hit the fire button. There's like a poof, poof, poof. And there's all these things. You can't fire it straight ahead because that would knock someone out. You can't fire it too high up. And so, you know, the game is going on. It's a great game with Golden State. I got my knee. I'm like, I'm popping Advil. I'm like taking like 800 milligrams a second. Get me through this. Yeah. And, they call me over and I take off. Like I take off my leg bandage. I'm like, here we go. I got to get out there. And I'm in a jersey and they're like, Chuck the Condor, who's the mascot. He's like, he's going to be your guide. So here's a guy in a suit, like with his hand on my back and he's like, pulls me to the floor and then pulls me back. I'm like, okay. And they're loading in and it's very much like an old school, like musket, cause they're loading in hot dogs one at a time. It's not, it's not full. It's not like a t-shirt tub. And so, you know, they're dropping and, dropping this hot dog.
And they're wrapped. To be fair, they're wrapped in foil. They're not just shooting unwrapped hot dogs. Although I would like to see that.
I would love to see that too. It's very much like those hot dogs we used to get at high school or like,
cafeteria.
Lunch. Yes. Yeah. Not, you wouldn't want this hot dog.
No.
And so, you know, I'm running out and it's, everything's going so quickly because it's like, this is my moment. I want to do cheers. I want to get with the hoop troop, you know, support my Clips and I start playing. His gun and Chuck's like, no, higher, lower. He's like,
and you hear him.
Yes, I'm getting yelled at by this condor. The theater, like this, you know, stadium is going crazy. People want these hot dogs, and you know, and it's not just me shooting hot dogs, but it's also like there's flips going on. There's kids dancing. It's everything. And Larry David's off to like one corner, so I'm also kind of embarrassed. I'm like, what does he think about the hot dog gun? And so I'm firing it. And it's flying and flying. And then, and I was like, okay, I did it. I felt really, you know, it all flashed by in seconds. And then I get off stage and I get a talking to some guy comes over and he puts his hand on my shoulder. He's like, do you know what you just did out there? And I was like, no. And he's like, you just shot the hot dog into the upper balcony. We cannot shoot the hot dogs into the upper balcony.
So you're getting chewed out.
I was getting chewed out, and I was like, and I thought that was unfair. I was like, why can't we? I don't know if it's the trajectory. The dogs shouldn't fly yeah. that high, or well, they don't want to feed the people in the upper balcony.
I think they might not want somebody going, I'm going to catch the hot dog, whoa, and then just like falling out of the upper deck in an attempt to grab a hot dog that's just coming close enough to the edge of the upper deck.
It was too, yeah, that was, I think, so they, like, so I got that talking to, and then I got multiple texts from all my friends at the Clippers that night. They were like, yeah, that's the highest the hot dog gun has ever shot.
Wow.
And so I feel a victory to it. I hope one day I could get back out on that court.
And you're just going to be like, I'm going to start shooting at these Lakers banners, right?
Bring them down. Well, yeah, we cover them up. We cover them up now. Okay. By the way, I mean, that was the dumbest thing. It took them so long before Bomber bought the team. Like, hey, let's cover these guys up.
Yeah.
For we the don't game. Need this. Yeah, we don't need
stare
this.
Stare at another team's cover dominance.
That and the Taylor Swift banner, please. Let's get them covered. But it was a highlight of my life.
Oh, that's fantastic. Madison Square Garden has Billy Joel has a banner
I
now.
I saw that.
Because he keeps playing there.
Do you remember this? I was talking about this the other day, but I feel like it's such a New York thing. Do you remember when St. John's University, the college team, they were the St. John's Redmen. So they had this, you know, offensive stereotype of a Native American running around, crazy mask. Then that mask was like stolen. And then they're like, you know, we can't do this. It's, you know, we got to change our look. And for one season, it was the St. John's Red Man. And the red man was a guy in a red tuxedo with a sequined hat and cane. And he ran around and just like had this cane and a hat. And I had a pin that was, it said St. John's Red Man. And it was two gloves overlapping each other with a top hat and a cane.
Are you pranking me?
No, I'm so serious. And I cannot find a single picture of it. It definitely existed because I shook the man's hand. The St. John's Redman, Red Man, it was before Thunder, the horse, and it was just a real growth fear.
I do not. And
when he came out, he'd get booed. Just booed, like Drake at, Camp Flogmont.
Yes. Drake got booed last night. It's very exciting. Look, you, Red Man, cause then it became the Red Storm.
Right. That's Thunder, the horse.
But you remember the year that it was Red Man.
Please, I feel like this is a show that definitely has some strong roots in New Jersey. I mean, I know there's like probably more of a Seton Hall crowd listening to this in Jersey, but
Chris Gethard. The Gethard family.
But I feel like someone out there has got to have a picture of this Red Man.
Mike?
I don't remember that.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Well, of course you don't. Even if he did, he would deny it. He'd leave you hanging.
I'm more of a Seton Hall fan myself.
Yeah. Mike likes Seton Hall because he likes, he likes this, the radio station, SOU. He likes listening to speed metal. The only college radio station that had a metal, it was like metal programming.
Oh, wait, always? Like it wasn't just like from midnight to five?
No, it's pretty much, it was a huge portion of the station is just that they're a metal station. Is that still the case, Pat?
Yeah, it's still the case. And what's funny about that school and that station is that I guess it's like it's a Catholic institution. So the band God Forbid, when they were popular, I'd hear them back announce and they'd be like, G Forbid with a track off there. And they just couldn't, they weren't allowed to say God Forbid. So they'd have to say G Forbid.
Wow. G Forbid. Wow. That's, yeah, so that's Mike. Mike's a big, he loves metal and he loves, PJ Carlissimo. So that's why he's a big Seton Hall fan. The best time I ever went to the movies, well, one of the best, I've had plenty of great movie going experiences. One of the times I remember is I was out here a year and a half ago and Phantom Thread is playing in theaters.
Oh.
And I go, who's saying that?
I think he's on the takeout line or something.
Yeah. Hang up on this guy, please, Brent. Please. So I go to the theater because it's playing in 70 millimeter over the arc light. So I go to the theater. I go to a 10 o'clock show. Perfect. Or 10:30
at night.
At night.
Okay.
10:30 at night on a weekday. The movie had been out already for
like
yeah,
month and a half. I go into that thing. I'm the only one in there for a 70 millimeter screening of the one of my favorite movies ever. I'm literally the only person in the theater. The guy comes out. He's like, welcome to the Arclight. What tell you? He might as well just sat next to me and whispered it to me. But they played that. I watched that alone in 70 millimeter. It was one of the best experiences I've ever had seeing a movie.
That's like your Howard Hughes moment. I mean, yeah. You're just.
Cause what would that call? If I was like, I want to watch Phantom Thread alone in 70 millimeter, I'd be like, well, I hope you have $30,000 for one screening of it. And it's like, or you just pick a off night when the movie's about to leave the theater. Oh, it was so good.
That is like going to see a film in an empty theater. And it's very rare. I go a lot and there'll be like another person, two other people. But to get that full alone is, I mean, that's rare. A rare sight. I had it for Hustlers recently at the Alamo Draft House. And it was nice, but I didn't realize where the screen was when I picked my seat. I was like, oh, can I get this? And they're like, yeah. I picked too close. I thought the screen was on the other side.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said to the woman, because the Alamo Draft House, they do, they have servers, you know, food. And I said, hey, do you mind if I move the seat? And she's like, no, you can't. Sorry, you bought the seat. You have to stay in the seat. Just like, hey, look, this woman is like very much like, you know, like AP Mike. It doesn't, you know, knows what they want.
Yeah.
So they forced me in. So I couldn't move in a completely empty theater.
Yeah. You're boxed in. Last time I saw a theater completely empty was Beach Bum.
Oh, I heard that's great.
It's really funny. I think it's legitimately funny and it's so good.
You turned me on to Death Day, so that was a movie that I enjoyed.
Happy Death Day.
Yeah.
Right. And did you watch that, Mike? Mike doesn't like horror movies.
No, I'm not a horror film.
So. No.
I like the movie.
Although The Lighthouse, I guess, technically was a horror film.
Was it?
Yeah, there's some horror type stuff in it.
Mike, are you excited about Star Wars?
No.
I know.
Mike, do you like The Godfather 2?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like, is it one? Like, what's your top film? Like where's sweet spot for you?
Well, some of my best experiences. Well, Animal House. I think I've told this story before. I was a junior in high school when it came out, and the place was packed, and we had a ball, and but it wasn't enough, and one of my friends stole a fire extinguisher from the theater. And then we drove around in our neighborhood just shooting random people on the sidewalk with a fire extinguisher.
Hyped up from watching Animal House.
Yeah, hyped up on Animal House.
That's the type of movie to make you behave badly. Yeah. This is a bad movie for
you. Granted you permission to be a maniac, right?
I had to take the SAT the next morning after this wild night.
Yeah.
And I scored better on that SAT than I did the second time I took it where
because,
I was
because of Animal because of the fire extinguisher
perfect 1600 the first
one. Look Mike, that's a pretty sweet movie going experience. You and your friends, your rowdy friends, you know, somebody else is telling a story about that would be their worst time they saw Animal House was the time that this guy and his rowdy friends went in and they stole a fire extinguisher and started spraying everybody.
It was a genius way of stealing it too, because it was a big silver, you know, it wasn't one of these little tiny red ones. It was big. And he sort of just put his coat around it and sort of carried it out like a child, wrapped in a coat.
Now, Mike, Paul, did you know Paul has another podcast? It's for movie egghead. It's for eggheads. It's not just for eggheads, but it's for people who like good movies. It's called Unspooled, right?
Okay. Yes.
And remember I was telling you all about that Halloween podcast, Mike? The making of Halloween.
Right.
That's your co-host.
That's right. Amy Nicholson, who does another podcast that he would really hate where she interviewed Quentin Tarantino on his influences.
Yeah. One would drive you up the wall, Mike. Cause he talks about movies. Look, Mike, I'm with you. I get it. It was about 8 years I didn't like that guy's movies. So Jackie Brown's one of the best things I ever saw. I didn't like the Kill Bill movies. I didn't like that.
I didn't like the one where the stuntmen were fighting or whatever that was. I didn't like that one.
Death Proof?
Death Proof. And then there was the, then Inglourious Basterds finally. And I'm just like, well, this looks like the dumbest one yet. And then I was still just like, I think I want to see it though. And then I remember talking to young Jason Walliner, who was just like in the same boat. And he was like, I saw Inglourious Basterds the other day. I'm like, how was it? He goes, it's really great. And I was like, I had a feeling it was going to be. He's like, it really is. And then I was super into it and back on board. But you didn't like it, Mike.
This alternative history, I don't get.
Yeah.
You know,
All right.
You know, I can't like bring my mind to just accept this is just going to be some sort of fantasy.
Wait a second. So are you saying that Irishman is based in fact? If we're talking about Jimmy Hoffa.
Yeah.
It's based on a book that was written by a guy who supposedly knew somebody who was
all these guys know someone.
Yeah.
I've interviewed so many people who are like, "Oh, I actually know who killed JFK." Oh, I got it now. Like the guy we interviewed on Unspooled for The Godfather, he like gave us all the information on who whacked who, and I'm like, "All right."
We see how these and look, I'm not going to say Mike is connected. I don't want to imply that. But you see the way these guys like Mike talk, and look, you put two and two together. And
how Mike, I talk.
Guy's probably hooked. The guy's probably got some ties.
Well, did you see this thing that just came out on the news? Four editors at Pace Magazine just found dead, tied up.
No. Oh. Oh no!
And they're numbered. Each one of them is numbered.
No. No.
Top
12.
Pace Magazine listed, credited Mike as a host of the.
Yeah.
Of the
oh, movie. No, I was a huge fan of that when I saw. But Mike is just like, Mike says like, I know a guy. That's how these guys, that's like, you're supposed to read between the lines on that and you're supposed to be a little intimidated. That's why he says it that way. I know a guy who knows. And then you're supposed to be like, oh, well, that's exactly Mike bragging about his shrimp. Because he drove from New Jersey to Florida with a cooler full of shrimp. It was like his Smokey and the Bandit. He's like, I got to get this shrimp to where in Florida did you go?
Sarasota.
I got to get this. I have 24 hours to get this shrimp to Sarasota. Mike gets in the car, eastbound and down,
loading up and trucking.
Right? You're driving your shrimp.
By the way, they call. Would your like mafia nickname be the beard? Because you can't grow one, and that's kind of the fun of it.
That would be, yeah.
The beard.
Yeah, Mike the beard.
Mike the beard.
There's all kinds of guys that come in. We got Mike the beard. We call him that because he can't grow a beard. And it's just Mike.
Yeah.
I want you to see The Irishman in a theater, and the show will pay for you.
Okay.
Wow.
I'll make the effort.
Please. Get across that bridge.
Yeah, get off,
just like that movie, 21 Bridges. I didn't know there was 21 Bridges in New York. Whenever I see that, like, that makes me want to go see that movie with Chadwick Boseman. He's like, there's 21 bridges connecting New York. I was like, wow.
21. You know the one bridge. He doesn't have to shut down. It's usually 20. The Bayonne Bridge is always shut down. Right?
Now it's back open.
It's back open. Well, then it's back up to 21 bridges. Do we have any more calls?
We do.
Let's take some calls. And if you give me the high sign, Paul, you just give me the
I'll take one more and then I'm going to go home.
Okay, that sounds good.
Okay, here we go.
Hello?
Hello, hi.
Hi, this is Otto in Chicago.
Otto in Chicago. What's up, Otto?
Oh, not a lot. I got a best movie experience for you.
Let's hear it. What is it?
I saw Police Story, the first one, with my girlfriend this year, and I really enjoyed it a lot.
Jackie Chan, Police Story?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did a lot for it. He did the theme song and all of it.
Mm-hmm. So you had a really good time at the movies.
Yeah, both my girlfriend and I went into it not knowing a lot, and we just like kept looking at each other, being like, is this really what this movie is? And just keep being like surprised and surprised again and again.
That's awesome. You had a good time at the movies.
That's
It was just like spoiler, I guess, for Police Story. Like near the end, when like he jumps onto like that pole and like swings down several like balconies.
You're not spoiling anything. Floors, like, you're saying a Jackie Chan movie has a big stunt in the end. That's not exactly a spoiler.
Yeah.
But no, so when he did like, the big stunt, you did what? Got up and
like
danced?
There's like this big jump he does onto like a pole, mm-hmm. and like he swings down like three or four floors of like a mall. Mm-hmm. But like they show the shot from like three or four different angles in the movie, like one after the other. And we're like, is this really what we're doing now? We're just replaying the stunt.
Hey man, you do you jump on a pole like that, you're gonna put every angle in your movie also of you doing that.
Yeah.
All right, buddy.
It was a good time.
Thanks. Bye.
I can't go out on that one.
No, you can't go out. The one more. You're too giddy, Mike. I don't like it. Did you order food tonight,
Brad,
Mike?
From Silver Spring.
Brad from Silver Springs.
Silver Spring, Maryland.
What's up, Brad?
I've got a best movie experience that I want to say I was about 10 years old, and my dad decided he had to see Rambo First Blood Part 2 when we were on the family vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being hesitant on it because it was R-rated, and you know, you're 10 years old, so R-rated means bad.
Yeah.
And my dad insisted that I go see this movie.
Yeah, right.
And that exploding arrow is still the best thing I think I've ever seen. It was the greatest thing in the world.
The idea that you went to an R-rated movie with your dad that was just nonstop violence, and you were just like this. Did you say to your father, Dad, this is the best thing I've ever seen in my life?
Well, before we went, he promised me, he said, at the end of this movie, you're going to say this is the best damn movie you've ever seen, and he predicted it spot on.
Do you think there's any chance that your dad had already secretly seen Rambo First Blood Part 2? And was just wanted to see it again?
I can tell you, he went up to the ticket counter, and he asks the woman what he's most concerned about. Is he says, is there any nudity or anything like that in there? And she says, no, just very, very violent. And he's like, well, I'm not worried about that.
Yeah.
Then.
No, why would your dad be worried about?
We all go as a family.
Yeah, be worried about a person without their clothes on.
A different time. My dad
yes,
used to,
that's the concern.
My dad used to edit out nude scenes from violent films just so I could watch them.
So you could still watch 400 people get slaughtered.
Yeah. I'd watch Beverly Hills Cop and they cut out the whole, like a lot of the opening. Well, cause I guess it's because somebody got shot in the head and the big nude scene. So it was actually really fun as I became an adult. I was like, oh wow, there's more of this movie that I never saw.
Yeah. You got like a director's cut. Well, you didn't realize it was not your father's cut.
Yeah.
Like his cut of the movie's 9 minutes shorter, with, like the runtime.
That must have been the thinking. I saw a Full Metal Jacket.
And then I've got a worse one that
Mike,
breaks
let this
bad
guy talk.
The other
Mike,
way.
This guy's talking.
If you got time for that.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
So this is, I'm guessing, looking up the dates, about a year later, my grandparents, my immigrant grandparents decide not to do the due diligence and take me and my brothers, who I think were about 10 to 13 in range, see the baseball movie Bull Durham.
Okay.
Which is the opposite of Rambo, no violence, but non-stop sexual references from start to finish, pretty much.
And you saw that, were you uncomfortable sitting next to your grandparents?
I was not as uncomfortable as they were. Uh-huh. And I remember my grandmother wanted to walk early into it, and my grandfather waved her off and said, you know, he paid for 5 tickets or whatever. He was gonna sit it out, so. Yeah.
And you probably were ready
so we
to
made
say,
it
you
through.
Were probably, hey, shh, 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 shh. You were probably ready to yell at your grandmother, just like, you look here, grandma. I have a chance at seeing a lady in a bra, right? I'm not getting up in this out of the seat for nothing, right? Is that what you told her?
I think I was still too young to the point where it was mainly just uncomfortable.
Sure.
I don't think I was there yet.
All right. Well, congratulations, young man. You did it. Hang up on this guy.
And can't Paul, leave on that.
You can't. Oh, no. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. One more.
We got to get out on a high.
They're getting better, though.
Yeah.
We're circling at Greco. What were you complaining about before, Mike?
No, I think this thinking where violence is okay for kids and nudity is bad was what got a couple went to see Full Metal Jacket,
mm-hmm.
sitting in front of me with a 7-year-old boy. And so I'm just distracted because I know it's going to be fairly violent, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like just watching his kids' expressions through the whole movie, you mm-hmm. know, like, is this kid going to be traumatized or is he enjoying this? I couldn't really read it, but, I mean, get a babysitter, you know, it's, you know.
I agree. Get a baby. Like, you know what? Like, well, you don't need to bring your kids to a movie. All this kind of stuff. I don't get it. I don't get why people need to bring their kids there. I don't know. I mean, like, I guess, or just bring it to an age appropriate movie. Yeah. Or also understand what your kid, as if somebody who has a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old, I have to have some restraint. Would I love to watch The Avengers with my kid? Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is it way advanced for him? Yes. And I would never bring him to that. But yet you look around, there's like a 3-year-old sitting there munching popcorn. Mm-hmm. It's not good.
No.
Not good for their brains.
No. You hear that, Mike?
Yeah.
you got an ally now.
Yeah.
Mike, the only movies Mike likes are this, the guy, what's his face? What's his name again? Hal Ashby. Ay. Mike with the
last details on the Criterion Channel.
Great movie. You know, the only movie I recommend for the whole family to go see is Daddy's Home, which is,
of
you know,
course.
You know
no, that, the, well, of course.
The movie guy. That I'm in. And
sure.
By the way, I just was realizing I was about to make that joke, and then I realized that's the second time I've been on a basketball court doing something insane.
No, that's right.
And that was at a Pelicans game where
– like a Lakers-Pelicans game?
That's where Kobe got hurt, and that wrecked – that was like the end of his whole thing. Yeah. And no one knew that we were doing a bit out there either and watching.
So that was the night – his career ostensibly ended.
Essentially, he never agreed to be on camera in a film
mm-hmm.
before, and it was a big deal that this kid in the movie was a Kobe fan, and they're like, and they rest, you know, they're like, oh, it'd be great. He'll agree to be on camera. He does this whole bit. It's the first time that he's ever technically acted in a movie. That was the night he got hurt.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and of course, they shot the whole movie in New Orleans. They did not make AD his mm-hmm. guy that he should have been an AD fan.
Yeah.
Like, why not?
Yeah.
But no, a Kobe fan. And, it was a real bummer. But then I was out there on the court and watched Will Ferrell hit a woman in the face with a basketball and watched the entire stadium suck in with, the worst sound of all time.
Yeah.
But that's a fun movie for the kids again. That's a movie.
Bring well, no, because of that saying.
Bring Daddy's the whole family.
Because of that saying. It's like
Daddy's Home 1.
Daddy's Home 1. No, of course. Well, the two. It's missing a couple elements. Well, one element, honestly. That it's too bad your character died in Daddy's Home 1. That's why he couldn't be in Daddy's Home 2. Another call?
Hi, yes.
Oh, hi. To whom am I speaking?
This is Claire in Minneapolis.
Claire in Minneapolis, how are you?
I'm really good. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
So I have a couple of movies to talk about. I have a best one, which I'm really excited you're doing this because I just got to see it for a second time tonight, and it's The Lighthouse. I am so excited about this because, like, I was super into Robert Eggers because I love The Witch and everything. And then I saw this a couple weeks for the first time, and it's like I don't even have a memory of seeing it. It's just like a really strong impression, and I'm never speechless, but I walked out of that theater and was just like, oh my God, like I think this is the best thing I've ever seen. And tonight it was so, so good. I love that movie.
So you
so
saw
much.
It a second time.
Yeah, I saw it a second time, and this time it was cool because I got to see it on a bigger screen, so it felt more.
But yeah, the aspect ratio stayed the same.
Sorry, go ahead.
But the aspect ratio stayed the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's like, it's this tiny little square box. And, you know, when I first got in there, the first time I saw it, I was like, oh, is this going to work? Because it's like really dim, and there was like little relief with what was going on, but it's truly like I did not expect to be affected that much, because I saw the trailer and everything, and I was like, oh yeah, this looks really cool, and like I love A24 usually, but yeah, I was listening to this podcast that my friend Chris showed me, who actually showed me the best show, so I should give him credit for that. But it's called Blank Check, and they were talking about Spirited Away, which is one of my favorite movies, and they were talking about how like it works in dream logic, and so it's like each scene you don't really know how you arrive there, but it makes sense that you did, and you have to accept it. And like that's how I felt when I was watching The Lighthouse. It just like it made sense to me, like on a more essential level than just like narrative, I guess. I think it's incredible.
All right, now so, this yeah. is look. You just sold a ticket to Lighthouse. I'm gonna go see Lighthouse now
Good.
Because of you.
Yeah. I would love to hear what you think about it. I haven't like read anything about it yet. I'm still kind of processing over mm-hmm. the past couple of weeks, but yeah, that was really good. And
good
then
restraint.
Bad one.
Yeah. Couple of weeks. Good restraint on you to just process. I would have been home immediately Googling well, everything. Easter eggs. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. I don't know what it is. It's almost that I just like don't want to spoil my own impression of
sure,
it, not that
yeah.
people, because I'm good. Sure that people have smarter things to say about
no,
it.
No, they don't.
Thinking,
you're allowed to come up with your own thing on it, and you're smart. You come up with your you figure it out yourself. What do you need? Somebody?
That's true.
You, Owen Gleiberman's going to tell you what you think of the movie.
Have you ever
Sorry?
Seen any movies by Bellator?
Sorry, I didn't hear what he said.
What did he say?
Did you ever see any movies by Bellator?
That's what it reminded me of.
No.
Yeah.
Get on it.
Look him up. You'll like him.
Yeah. What's the name?
Bellator.
He's a Hungarian filmmaker.
Bellator. Okay, I'm writing that down right now. I've got a little
Hungarian
right
filmmaker.
Sweet. Yeah.
All right.
Perfect. Okay, I've got it down. I'll look into that.
Right. Okay.
But, yeah, and then I have a bad one.
Let's hear the
it's
bad
not
one.
A bad movie. It's Hereditary. And oof. I love that movie,
I have seen it
probably like four or five times now.
Four or five times?
My mom won't let me
watch it. Yeah, I'm kind of obsessed with it. And like, I'm fascinated with Toni Collette in that movie. And like, I was reading this really funny thing. Maybe it was on Twitter or something, but someone who interviewed her asking her about her role was like, yeah, like I hear all these guys, you know, talking about how hard it is to play the Joker, and like you really have to get into that, like to the psyche of that character. And when he asked Toni Collette how she did it, she was just like, oh, it's just a movie. Like, it's no big deal.
That's like the best answers of all time. The best actors. Like, yeah, just have to act. That's what I do.
I showed up and got to play a different person than me, and I had fun doing it.
Not to send dead fish to people that pretend that I'm the Joker.
Yeah, exactly.
She was just like literally doing her job. But I went to see it like, you know, maybe a week or so after it came out, and none of my friends would come with me because they're not into horror, and so I usually end up going alone to this stuff. But two of them sent their boyfriends with me, which I like didn't want, but I didn't want to say no either. And so it was already bad because I got to the theater and they were there because I was a little late. They were sitting like a seat apart from each other, and so I had to like climb over them and sit in the middle, and like they weren't talking to each other or anything, so just a bad vibe from the start. And I got like a large popcorn, and I was like, oh, you guys want any of this? And they're like, no. So I was just sitting there alone eating, and it's not really a popcorn movie, you know? It's like when you're chewing and then you realize it's like, oh, this is a bad thing that's happening. Like, I should not be enjoying my food.
By the way, let's just see, but your bad experience sounds lovely.
Yeah.
You have a great way of putting a spin on it.
And you seem like a nice person. You're helping out your friends.
Thank you.
You went to the movies with your friends' boyfriends
that don't get along.
Yeah.
Yes. And you sat there in
no,
the middle.
No, they don't.
All I'm going to say is this.
It was so weird.
Hereditary is not even a horror movie. It is a psychological, it's disturbing on some, it's a disturbing movie because there's something fun and a release about horror. There's nothing releasing about that movie. That movie is just made to mess you up. I don't know. That's the way I felt
totally.
About it.
Totally. Yeah. And that's why I just like, I felt
times.
Like I absorbed the energy of it so much, and I'm usually fairly unbothered. Like I said, I love going to horror movies and everything, and, you know, normally, like Toni Collette, I can just be like, oh, it was just a movie, but I remember, because, like, it's not that the trailers are misleading, but, like, is it okay if I like talk about the plot? I mean, it's been out for like a year, so I guess it doesn't matter.
No spoilers.
But like, I didn't know that the little girl was going to die because they don't make it to look like that.
No, of course.
In what I remember. And when she does, it's, you know, it's like 20 minutes in, I was just like, oh my God, like they killed the child in this. Like, this is not good. And it was just this mounting dread. And I will never forget, like, the final scene, you know, when they're up in the treehouse and everything.
Don't ruin it for people.
Yeah. I'm thinking about it now and, like, I'm getting kind of, like, clammy even talking about it. But it's just, like, and with the soundtrack going at the same time and everything, there was something so, like, incongruous about the way that it sounded with the way that it looked, and yet it was coming together in my mind, and it was just like, and then
I ask you one question?
Theater.
You're not doing viral marketing for A24,
yeah,
are you?
Like,
you really are. You really are.
Sounds like you're gonna start going, and then the Uncut Gems is coming up this Christmas.
No, I wish that I was.
But if you really want to get more, the A24 podcast is a lot of fun too. Ari Aster is interviewed by Michael Cera and.
Yeah, that.
Well, and I mean, you could get me going about like Lady Bird and Moonlight.
Yes.
And
yeah.
I kind of am doing that.
All right. Well, I'm gonna.
But
I appreciate your call.
Ahead.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Yeah, and then afterwards, it was just like we walked out. It was still light outside, and it was like, ugh, this isn't good. And my friend called me and was just like, "Are you good?" I was like, "No."
Well, here's the thing.
That's gonna stick around.
My friend, I have to say goodnight. I have to wrap up. We had the studio. Unlike the Best Show, we have the studio for a finite amount of time, and we have the engineer, Brett, whose name is just
more
Brett,
than just, yeah, more than just
for a finite name. Amount of time. So I say goodnight to you. Thank you for the call.
Goodnight.
Tom, I have to bid you an adieu. Thank you so much for having me.
Paul Scheer, thanks for coming by. Everybody knows How Did This Get Made and Unspooled.
But all love to The Best Show, wow. One of my favorite shows of all time. And I was just moved into a new place, and I just put up my Best Show box set, and I was very excited to do that.
Paul, thank you for coming and doing this. It's such a...
Anytime. I love it. I love that you're in L.A. It's the best.
Awesome.
All right,
well,
bye.
I'm glad I'm here for you. Okay. Let's take... Who's been on the hold the longest time? And we'll do that.
This caller's been on hold for an hour and a half.
Let's put that call on. And I might not get to all the calls tonight, unfortunately. I don't think I'm going to. But Best Show, hi.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. To whom am I speaking?
This is Zoe out in Olympia.
Who is it?
Zoe out in Olympia.
Zoe, how are you tonight?
I'm doing pretty good.
Paul Scheer just left.
Yeah, I know. I'm a little bummed. I was hoping.
I'm sorry.
Well, hopefully he's still listening.
He'll still hear it. He'll hear whatever you say. So, Zoe, do you cool. have a
yeah,
movie
I've got...
experience? Do you have a best or worst movie going experience?
I do. I have a worst one for sure.
All right, let's hear the worst one.
So, one time in college, I was going back home to visit my dad, and a friend of mine gave me some treats that they did not give me any really description for, just, hey, made you some snacks for the road type thing.
Of course.
And I had them with me most of the winter break and forgot about them until one day my dad goes, oh, hey, you want to go see The Hobbit? I've got the day off. I said, yeah, sure. And then I was eating some snacks my friend had sent me, and I texted my friend, you know, oh, these are really good things. And he then informs me that they are, of course, not just normal snacks. So as I find out this information, I'm literally in the car on the way to see The Hobbit.
Okay.
And then have to sit there for most of The Hobbit, sitting next to my father, not entirely sure what's going to happen next to me.
Because you're feeling it now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it wasn't something I was really used to at the time, so it became a very anxiety-inducing event for me.
And did your father have any of this stuff, or no?
No, he had no clue about this. In fact, I've never told him this.
But he didn't eat any of the snacks? He didn't eat any of it?
No. Okay. He had no idea they were even a thing. It was just like, you know, something a friend gave me.
Wow, that is horrifying to sit watching The Hobbit with your father while you're wondering what's going on with the
edibles you just ate.
Yeah, I kind of hit a moment specifically where the dwarves have just kind of finished ransacking Bilbo's house of food, and they're all kind of doing their little song and dance while cleaning the dishes, and it was mm-hmm. about that moment where I kind of realized what was happening, and I couldn't help but hide my face yeah. in a sort of anxious shame, and I'm hoping my dad never noticed.
Zoe, you made it through the other side. There's no more Hobbit yeah, movies. You did it.
I learned to never trust my friend's snacks.
Or at least ask what your friends put in the snacks.
Yeah, right.
That's exactly. all you got to find out, right? You just made yeah. me some brownies, or is there stuff in here?
Right, exactly.
Well, I'm with you on this one, Zoe. And I appreciate the call.
Yeah, thanks so much. Yeah,
have a great night.
You
okay. All right, bye. We can't get to everybody. We got to get out of here. I appreciate everybody listening. Pat?
Yes.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Mike?
Yes.
Thank you so much. Brett?
You're welcome, Tom.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Oh, Tom, real quick.
Yeah, what's that?
Jurassic Park 1993 with my entire family on the opening weekend was probably my best experience. And as you know, Drowning Mona was my worst.
Drowning Mona.
You saw Drowning Mona. You won't stop talking about your bad time seeing Drowning Mona.
Worst time in a movie theater.
Well,
yeah.
Let's hope it stays the worst time. Nothing tops it.
It'll be hard to beat.
Well, everybody, I'm going to say good night and thanks for listening. And the best show will be back. We'll keep it going. And I appreciate everybody being patient. And you know you get the best show from me. What do you think I'm doing here? I've given done 8,000 hours of this thing. You'll get more. I appreciate you being patient. I appreciate you supporting the show. And you will get what you want. I will give it to you. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.